Welcome to the Good, the Bad, and the Sequel. This is the movie podcast where we're talking sequels and we do it in two parts. The first, an interview with an actor or someone involved that made the film worth watching. And the second, a discussion of the sequel, what they got right, what they got wrong, and how it could have been better. I really hope you enjoyed last week's interview with actor Brian Thompson. Still can't believe that we got him. You know him as the Night Slasher from Cobra. And of course, Bosworth from this week's sequel, Fright Night Part 2, which I can't wait to talk about. And dude, Joe Dirt. When he talks about Joe Dirt, it's so cool when you have these serious, like scary actors talk about those roles and they absolutely love him. And yeah, he was a blast. So if you didn't listen to that, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening right now. So after this, you can go back, check it out, or see everything we have in the future. But before we dive into this amazing sequel, like I'm not even kidding, I got to introduce you to my partner in the sequel watching journey, Jamie Riccardi. Jamie, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Doug. How are you doing?
Oh, dude, I'm so stoked. The fact, just last week, you know, the last sequel we did, Batman Returns, doing that behind the scenes research, I'm like obsessed with it. And the stuff I have in store for you, like these little nuggets of information, they have nothing to do really with the filming process. Maybe a couple, but there's a lot of good stuff.
Well, I hope so, because it sounds like you really love this movie. I wasn't a huge fan.
Ooh.
To me, I'd rather it's almost like a knockoff of Once Bitten, and I prefer that movie much better.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so, there was one part I did laugh at, but
one part that you laughed at?
I mean, I might've giggled here and there. I mean, but there's one part, I mean, it's so stupid. I mean, the part I laughed at is so stupid. But even my daughter is laughing, but okay. I don't know. I remember these movies coming out. I never seen Fright Night 1. I remember the movies coming out, when they came out, and I always thought they were scary movies. I thought they were, like horror movies. It's not really a horror movie.
No, it's not.
Not at all. I mean, it's so not what I expected. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe I expected more from it. Yeah.
You're looking for like a horror movie and you're like, wow, this is like a comedy, like a little horror, really great special. Yeah. So we'll discuss it and we'll see. Maybe we can change your mind once we talk about it. Cause that happens sometimes when we do this. We're like, oh man, like scary movie. We were like, scary movie, I don't know. And then we're like, man, there's a lot of good like bits in this movie.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you have your work cut out for you, but let's see, see what comes up. The only, to start, since I didn't see the first one, and this movie, I know we start right from the beginning, it kind of starts, giving you kind of a preview, or not a preview, but it talks about or shows you scenes of the first movie, correct? Yeah. And then he's at a doctor talking about the first movie.
Yes.
Now, I haven't seen the first movie, but based on what I saw and what he was saying, it sounded like he was describing the movie that he was in right now. I mean, it sounds like it's exactly what the plot of this movie was.
Well, in the first one, it's a next door neighbor. This one's not his neighbor. A vampire, so that's the same, obviously.
Yeah, but okay, his girlfriend didn't believe him in the first movie, but she believes him in this movie. It doesn't believe him in this movie. And is it the same girlfriend?
No, the first one is Marcy Darcy from Married with Children.
Oh, he upgraded big time. Second movie. So is this supposed to be the same person, or he just has another girlfriend?
No, different girlfriend. This is the one he met at college.
Okay. And then in the first movie, his friend turned into a vampire, correct?
Yes.
And his friend turns into a vampire this time.
His friend turns into a vampire this one? I don't know if that's really his friend. I don't think that's his friend, really.
That was his friend. He came in there and he got his tie. And then he said,
seems like a guy that lives in the same dorm that you had buddies like that in college, or buddies that just come to your house and be like, dude, you mind if I borrow your shirt? And you're like,
So you're saying a buddy is not a friend?
Well, yeah, no, I don't think so. A friend is like a personal thing. A buddy's like, hey, what's up, buddy? I go into the liquor store, I say, hey, how you doing, buddy?
So, okay, so can your close friend be a buddy?
No, he's your friend. You just said it.
But he can't be your buddy also? Here's my buddy. I'm going to a party with my buddy, Tom. You can't say, he's not your buddy. He's my friend. So if you say buddy, people are going to like, do you really know him?
Yeah, you brought him to my house? You brought him to the Super Bowl? You brought a buddy to my Super Bowl party? How dare you? Does he have a record?
I was confused on what the difference between a buddy and a friend.
Well, I'm glad that we cleared that up. So, yeah, so let's go right into it. Like you mentioned, like you see the flashbacks of one, which is good for somebody on their first, you know, viewing of the movie. If you're on cable and you accidentally stumble across, you know, the second one, which we'll get into a lot of behind the scenes on the release of this movie. That's pretty mind-blowing. But, yeah, so did you notice who the shrink was?
He looked familiar, but no.
So Mr. Carosi from the Saved by the Bell summer season when they worked at the beach house, that was Leah Remini's dad.
Oh, the guy, that was him?
Yeah, Mr. Carosi. Yeah, he was fatter on Saved by the Bell.
That wasn't him. Okay. That was definitely him. I thought it was I thought the guy that was on Saved by the Bell does the voice for Pumbaa. And
That's Nathan Lane.
No, that's Timon. Pumbaa's the fat guy, the farting warthog.
Well, we'll look it up afterwards.
All right,
but I'm pretty sure it's Mr. Carosi. So I love, again, just like a lot of people, like with doctors, they say what the doctor wants to hear, just so they can, you know, just get out of there, you know, and. That's what he's sort of doing, you think, right? You're like, wow, this traumatizing experience. And then he runs home. I love when he runs it back to his dorm. And he just opens up this chest that he has in his room. Like, he has his girlfriend, Alex, come over. And before this, they were dating. And he just throws out garlic and wood sticks.
Yeah. I question that because I thought he was saying what he thought the doctor wanted to hear.
That's what I thought.
But then he's getting rid of it. So then he didn't believe. So basically by getting rid of it, he didn't believe anything that happened in the first movie really happened.
So this is, this is like kind of confusing because I believed when he ran out of there, I thought he was like, oh, he's going home because he's still worried. But I guess maybe 3 years of therapy and maybe because his girlfriend, which we will get into throughout the movie, I give up red meat for her.
Oh, ridiculous.
but obviously Julie Cartman, but it's just, I think he's just getting rid of it because maybe she'll find it or something. No, I was confused about that too. And then, but I think he finally believes it because in the next part, which we'll get to, he goes to Peter Vincent's house, Roddy McDowell, and he's like getting, like swearing off that it ever happened.
Well, he seems to go back and forth on it.
Like, I know.
You know, one minute he believes it. But again, without seeing the first one, I'm assuming there was a lot of death. There was a lot of, like, you know, things you don't normally see, you know, such as a vampire. I don't think you can totally dismiss that easily. You know, I mean, first of all, I think he's an idiot. I mean, you know, throughout the whole movie. And she's way too hot for him. I mean, he's kind of a dork. You know, I mean, but I found that part a little strange that he could totally dismiss the events of what happened in the first movie.
Yeah, no, I know. And I was just thinking maybe because they do the 3-year time lapse, maybe it's like weighing on him. But it is funny that we both thought the same thing, that he was just saying what the doctor wanted to hear to get out of it. But one thing that's like so, it seems so minor, but obviously when in a movie, when they zoom in on something, you're like, oh, that's got to mean something later. But when he cuts himself shaving, you're like, oh, what? That's like nothing. But
yeah,
I think that's the whole thing with that, the whole movie, and what Regine, Julie Carmen, will get into her a little bit, is plotting. Wow, so diabolical. Like, really, like,
yeah,
a punishment and a half. But we'll get there. So yeah, Peter Vincent, who is like kind of like a, I don't want to say like a knockoff character of Vincent Price. They wanted Vincent Price to be in the original. And I don't think there was even really any talks, but that's who they built the character based on. But dude, Roddy McDowell, absolute acting legend. God, I love him so much.
No, he's awesome. But he almost reminded me, and not obviously not by looks, but that whole Fright Night TV show, whatever, and the scenery and his character reminded me of the guy from Gremlins. The Gremlins 2. The show,
Oh, well, this was that out first.
So then Gremlins 2, because I feel like it's very, it's the show's like set and everything, and the way that he talked to the camera was very similar to.
Oh, yeah. No, it's almost exactly. But I think that takes from an actual real show that I think that Vincent Price did. I don't think it was called Fright Night.
Oh, okay.
I think it was actually based on something, but I should know that. But no, it is kind of. Wasn't that, I thought that when I watched Gremlins 2, I'm like, he's kind of the same guy.
Very much. Yeah. So they have a show though called Fright Night and the movie's called Fright Night.
Yeah.
Like is the movie based on the show that like where's the correlation with that?
No, they just use the name.
Well, how stupid is that? They couldn't come up with another name. I mean, the name of the movie is Fright Night.
A movie called Scream and people scream in it.
Right. So you're comparing an action. Someone doing a vocal action to the name of a show that's the same name of a movie, but there's no relation.
Well, what do you mean? There is relation. They're screaming. It happens. In this, there's a show called Fright Night. So like, hey, we'll call it Fright Night. And the kid's obsessed with Fright Night, which in the I guess is more told. He loves that show so much. Like he lives for it. Like he's hooking up with Marcy Darcy in the first one and it comes on. He like knocks her off.
But I would think if you've never seen the movie, you're going to say, all right, this show has something to do with the movie.
Well,
but Peter, it doesn't.
That's to do with the movie.
But the name of the, I can't. Like I feel it's lazy writing. I think using that name for the TV show when it really has no, outside of the actor who's, you know, covering the show, the name of the show should have been called something different. That's all I'm saying. Whatever. And Marcy Darcy, I can't believe, because this had to be around the same time as what Married Children, right?
It was like 3 years before, and she was 28 in Fright Night. But it's crazy; they made her look older in Married Children. But yeah,
because I mean, he seemed like a young guy. So, and this takes place in college. So was the first one? Was he in
high school?
And she was 28 at the time.
She was 28 when they filmed that in 85. Yeah. She looked young. Like if you watch it, you're like, oh, she looks it. But they made her look older on Married with Children. Cause I went back and watched like the first season. I was like, wow, like 3 year difference. And they wanted to bring her back for the sequel. And they wanted to bring back his buddy Evil Ed. But they ended up just going with a totally different route.
Well, I'm glad because his new girlfriend is way hotter.
Yeah. Tracy Lynn. Well, here's the first behind the scenes on her. So just to set up the scene, like they're at Roddy's place, which is so, I love his apartment because it has all like the memorabilia from his old movies.
And it's cool. Also like the biggest apartment I've ever seen in my life. I literally thought when he went there, they were going to like his mansion. Like I thought it was like a mansion. The way they showed it, I didn't realize it was an apartment building, but like, it's a huge apartment. Well, first of all, even the dorms are huge, but we'll get to the dorms later. But yeah. Okay.
No, but those are those apartments. Cause I feel like he's on the second of the top four. Yeah. But they're like those super high, like cathedral ceilings. But, so in the scene, we see Charlie, we meet his girlfriend, Alex, who's played by Tracy Lind. So she was a model actress. You know her from this, My Boyfriend's Back. Yep. And she was like a big time model. So she dated, and sad story, but she was abused by Dodi Fayed. Do you know who that is?
No.
That's the guy that was like with the mistress of Princess Diana.
Dodi, the bodyguard.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, he wasn't the bodyguard.
I thought Dodi was the bodyguard because he's the one that died. Did he die in the limo with that?
Yeah, no. This guy was super rich. His dad was like a big time guy in Egypt.
He Their died with worth... Is he the one that died with Princess Diana?
Yeah, they were like engaged, reportedly. I didn't know, but this is just from going on Wikipedia. But anyway, 97, she came out like earlier part of the year to talk about that he was abusing her. And then obviously months later he died. But if you look at the people that guy dated, because he was super rich, and I guess he was a not bad looking guy, I guess he dated like Mimi Rogers, Winona Ryder. The list goes on and on of the people he dated like in the early 90s.
Wow.
She was one of them. And I read that. I'm like, man. And then she got out of acting like right after that because she didn't like being in the spotlight. But I was like, wow, holy crap. Like,
So she had a very short career.
Oh, well, she started modeling in like the mid 80s. She's in a bunch of other stuff.
But acting career. Like she.
Yeah. It's about like 10 years. But there's a couple of shows she had like small parts on that you might remember, like Werewolf, which is like an 80s show. Brian Thompson had like a role in one of those. But so then he's looking out the window. He peeks out the window and he sees three coffin shaped boxes arriving and a limo pulling up. So again, I know what you're going to say. And I agree. It's the same thing. That part is the same as the first one. But I think that's what's great about it. It's not like you're watching this movie as like trying to think of another like serious kind of movie that you're like, oh, the same thing. It's more of a comedy than a horror movie, right?
100%. I mean, there's nothing scary at all about this. When they showed you scenes in the first one, it looked darker. It looked more like a horror. You know, I definitely would not put this in a horror category. You know, I would maybe, I mean, it's a dark comedy, maybe, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. You know, maybe that, but I mean, well, you know, honestly, Uncle Rico or whatever, like, you know, he's the best part of the movie. To me, he's the best part of the
Louis. Movie. Yeah, Louis's great. Some great lines and everything he does in it. So when Charlie and his girlfriend are leaving the place, so he has to like tell Peter Vincent, like, hey man, I don't believe in vampires anymore. He looks like so sad. This is like a traumatic experience. You know, it was just them two and, you know, Marcy Darcy. So it was like them three had this like story. Now, obviously, you know, if you're Peter, you feel super alone, but she's in the elevator and she's like, Peter still believes in vampires, doesn't he? And he looks at her and goes, let me show you something I believe in. And they just start making out. Again, he's a nerd, but maybe that's why she likes him, because he like goes all in. I don't know.
Well, the whole movie, he's trying to get even further with her. I mean, like, she seems to be, you know, like she seems like a nerd also. Like, she seems like a hot nerd. She's always studying. She always, you know, worried about her grades. So she seems like a hot nerd. But I would be annoyed if I was the other guy, because again, like you said, they went through a traumatic experience, and now he's denying that it even happened. Like, I'd be pissed off. Like, are you? Because he's making him look like a fool. Because he still believes it. You know, or he's not denying it. So
no,
yeah.
I know, and you we'll get into later, like some other parts that. Again, the whole movie, Charlie, he's just going like back and forth on it. And even with Alex, he like goes back and forth with her. Like, he's super hot and then super cold. Like, I don't know. He's definitely a character that you obviously like kind of like root for, but then at the same spot in the same time, you're like, this guy's screwing up so much. Like, you're like, go meet your girlfriend for the symphony.
Yeah, he's lucky that she did not leave him. I mean, he treated her kind of crappy, you know. And like, again, like you said, he was very hot and cold. Like, just the way he talked to her was like, he'll snap at her, you know. He's lucky that she didn't leave him. I mean, again, she's way too good for him. But again, I think because she's probably like the hot nerd, you know. So like, that's what it is. And you know, he's probably the best that she's gonna get, because she's nerdy also.
Yeah. So then we have Charlie is waiting for Alex to use the bathroom, and we see the four villains in the movie, which I had that photo up there, like super iconic. Like, when you see them all get into the elevator, you have Brian Thompson as Bosworth, Russell Clark as Bell, John Grease as Louis, and of course, Regine, who I love. She's played by Julie Carmen. God, just her look and the slow-mo and the music that's done.
They walked in like an 80s rock band, just the way they looked.
Yeah.
And the guy, my daughter and I almost the same time said that guy looks like Michael Jackson. Like, he, you know, from the beginning, like he I don't think he has one line in the movie.
No,
not one line. So I don't know. It was kind of strange how they dressed. I don't know, you know, if that's what vampires usually wear. I mean,
so,
you know.
So with vampires, again, it's a comedy, all right? But just the way, like, John Grease talks, like, I don't know where he was before this. Or obviously he's been around forever, so he has different, like, things he learned. But the way he talks is so great. He's like, oh, man, come on.
It is, but he also doesn't look like a vampire. Like, I thought he was a werewolf in the beginning, you know, and he looks like a werewolf.
Yeah.
You know, and then you realize later on when they say certain things that, you know, he's obviously a vampire, but he looks, I mean, like, first of all, they all are very weird. I mean, one eats bugs, only bugs. One, you know, one acts like a werewolf, like surfing dude. You know, like it they were very strange vampires. I'm not used to those kind of vampires.
What kind of vampires are you used to?
Well, like what you're wearing right now. Like the out, like, you know, again, they look like they're an 80s rock band. You look like Count Dracula.
So you prefer the Count Dracula normal run of the mill vampire?
Well, yeah. I mean, these vampires do some questionable things. I mean, I don't know how many vampires use rollerblades. You know, I mean, I don't know what kind they remind, like, I don't know what kind of vampires they are. Like, are they like the rejected vampires that didn't make the cut for, like, you know, Bram Stoker, whatever?
Now, was Belle wearing rollerblades when they walked in? I don't think so, right? That's the only thing.
No. Rollerblades? Sorry. Yeah. But my question is, like, so when he turns into a bat, does he have like little bat rollerblades?
Oh yeah, he is the bat in the one scene, right? In the one scene coming up. I didn't know if that was you. I thought that was Regine at first for some reason. So I thought she was.
Yeah, I don't think it's him. Yeah, it wasn't him. But I mean, he's a vampire, so he can turn to a bat. So I don't know if he has like little batty, you know,
little ones. Yeah, little batty ones. So I'm gonna go into a really good tip hit in a second. So then we get Charlie and his girlfriend are making out in the car in the next scene. And then we get the vampire POV just flying and like lands on the car and you hear like a sound and it's Regine. And she's looking unbelievable. And then Charlie in his mind goes from making out with Alex to her and just the shock of him.
You've seen that in other like kind of vampire movies. They do that. They mess with your head and like, fine. I get her as a vampire. The other ones are a little weird. I mean, but she does it like, but that scene was cool because they've done that in other movies. And, you know, like I, it was cool because he never met her yet.
Yeah. Well, you saw her for a second.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then again, I think, I don't know how he was with Alex beforehand. Cause we take it up from, you know, where we see him in the shrink's office. So I don't know if he was always like a floozy with her and like, you know, so, but it seems like Regine's main job is to like break them up. Cause there's so many times she's the reason that he like blows her off. This scene, he like looks and he gets like startled and she gets like pissed off. And so how does he, again, in his head, he knows at one point vampires were a thing. And maybe an inkling that, hey, there's more vampires. You can't think that those are the only vampires. So somebody might be after him one day. He just lets her walk. Was there nowhere else to park?
I know. I said the same thing. I go, you know, and even if there weren't vampires around, you're talking about late at night walking across a campus. You're not going to, this is your girlfriend. You're not going to walk her to her dorm. Like, so, I mean, vampires are not, he's such a douche. And again, he's douchey to her the whole movie. Yeah. That's such a bad move. So, yeah.
But I don't know if he was douchey before we saw him or as soon as he saw Regine, his mindset changed. It's not like she said like, oh, you've been acting like this for a long time. Did it just start from where we saw it or was he always a dick?
No, I think he's always a douche.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one thing before we talk, and I think it was Belle that was flying because that's what the next scene is. So one thing that I got to talk about this now. So this movie, she got nominated for a Saturn Award, which is like sci-fi and fantasy movies. And in the category with her, Demi Moore won for a role in Ghost, like Nicole Kidman in Dead Calm, Madonna, Dick Tracy. So even though this movie had the worst release, which I'll get into.
She was in the category with them.
All of them, yeah. She crushed.
That's amazing.
What she did in this role.
She did a great job, but I mean, I'm surprised they even like took something from this movie to put in the category of Demi Moore and Ghost. Like that's high honors for her. I mean, to even be, you know, linked to them is amazing. So I can't even believe either there were no other movies they can find and they needed
a lot more. I didn't name all of them. Ali Sheedy, Fear. No, there's like eight movies on here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So here's the thing that's I kind of teased you like in a text, not like a photo or anything. I can do that.
That sounded a little weird.
And that's what I went for. But no, there were some like behind the scene facts. So I'll go into this one. So just think of the impact she made on a movie that wasn't released into a lot of movie theaters. The first movie was a wide release. This movie, no issues with it. Like obviously people liked it, but this movie didn't have like a wide release. I think like 150 movie theaters. There was an issue with it going on to VHS. And the fact that she was like incorporated with all these actors. So here's why. You ready for this one? This is like mind blowing. All right. So the movie was put out by New Century Vista, which was ran by a guy named Jose Menendez. Do you know that name? Menendez?
Well, I know the Menendez brothers.
Okay. So their dad was the head of... He was the executive vice president at Carrico Pictures.
Wait, the guy, the guy he murdered?
Yeah.
He's a murderer. Yeah.
Yeah, he got murdered by his kids.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so this is... Okay.
Yeah, so he was... even though this movie had like a lackluster performance, in that same year it came out, they were going to do a third movie. They were getting ready to meet with Tom Holland, the director of the first one, and Roddy McDowall. We're going to do like another movie. Then he gets murdered. So then from there, it's almost like what they do in some people that we've talked to, like when a new studio head comes in, they kind of like buried this movie. Like this movie is so hard to find on VHS. Yep. It's barely on Blu-ray or DVD. That's why it's on YouTube everywhere. Cause it really, nobody for some reason wants to have, it's not, again, we'll get more into the movie. It's not like it's like Munchie or not Troll 2, but I'm trying to think of like Son of the Mask. That movie you can find anywhere.
Yeah, well, maybe no one wants to watch it.
No, people want to watch this movie.
Okay, I would think, you know, if certain movies, you know, maybe it's like because it's not that good, so people really
nobody care knew watch about it because it didn't have a wide release. It was in like a tenth of the movie theaters, and it still made I think $3 million. And it didn't even have like the wide release that the first movie did. So it just didn't have the opportunity. And I don't understand why movies would do that. Like I know it costs to be in a movie theater, but yeah, that made no sense to me.
Wow.
The fact that it was Menendez.
Yeah. Like, that's that connection is wild.
Yeah. So anyway, so Bell was the one who was about to catch up to Alex. She just closes the door in time, falls down.
I feel like, again, I said this before, I feel like these vampires are a little like rejects because, I mean, like, that's even a little silly that, like, it sounded like a bird hitting a windshield. Like, the bat hit the door and, like, fell down. Like, you know, like, it just, you know, I don't know. I don't think that would happen to Dracula.
Well, if it was perfect vampires, would there really be a movie? You need a flawed villain.
I guess.
You need that flawed villain that says, you know what? I'm going to blow up this building in 10 minutes. And it's like, wait.
Well, I'm going to say because of the dorky, you know, lead, you know, vampire killer, he's no Keanu Reeves, you know, and Keanu Reeves went after, you know, Dracula. So, you know, if you put Keanu Reeves in this movie, the movie's over in 5 minutes.
See, that's what I mean. You can't watch a movie for 5 minutes.
All right.
Charlie. I love the way he says that. It's so great. So then we see an Asian girl sadly leaving at the same exact time. And Belle's like, I'm ready to eat. I love that scene of the girl like dropping something. It looks so cool. The blood splatter on the paper.
All right. We got to talk about this scene.
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, we're talking about Michael Jackson on rollerblade right now, right? Okay. Russell. She can't outrun someone that's on a rollerblade.
I think you'd be very startled, maybe.
Okay. I again, you know, I'm sure going on rollerblades downstairs is going to be a difficult job. Just find stairs. I mean, was she in a dorm room? Like, was it like,
it looked like it was almost in like the corridor of like a part of the school, maybe.
It also seemed like it was like late at night. So I don't know what classes are being held late at night. Like time in this movie seems so off. I mean, even like between the library being open at night and all that stuff. I feel like the scene like really made no sense because the kill really didn't mean anything, right? I mean, like
that there was like thirst. It's not like somebody found the body, because that's how the vampires are smart. So nobody knows that. Yeah,
but the scene popped up so fast after the bat hit the door, and then the next scene quickly, you see this girl fall down and the rollerblades. Like, it was just like, I feel like the scene was so misplaced. Like they just threw it out there. Like it was definitely a scene, like just a throw out there to show a vampire in rollerblades.
Well, if I was in a dark hallway and a van and somebody dressed like Russell, he came on rollerblades at me. I don't know if I have to think about stairs. I'd be like, where'd he get those rollerblades?
Yeah, okay. Look what he looks like here. You that picture right there. You think you're going to question his rollerblades? Not the fact that
the whole thing.
Go to a door. You stand by. He's got rollerblades. He can't, like, I mean, I feel like I we're giving this guy way too much. I don't know. First of all, I don't even know why he's on rollerblades. Don't vampires move pretty fast?
No, I know. That's what I would love to know. Like the origins of the rollerblades.
I mean, it just bizarre. Like, to me, it's a very bizarre thing to throw. Like, how did that come up at a table read? They're like, all right, this vampire is going to have rollerblades. No other vampire. Like, it's not like it's a rollerblading vampire troop. You know, like no one else has rollerblades, just this one guy, you know, something no vampires you've ever seen ever have rollerblades, but let's give him rollerblades.
So, like, what? No, what I'm going to say is Russell Clark, the actor, he was in, he only acted in 9 things, but big time choreographer in Hollywood.
That's not surprising. Considering he didn't say a word in this movie and, you know, he was the only one on rollerblades. No, I figured he's more of a stunt guy.
And really cool movies that he did like choreography for, some bigger ones, but the ones that I picked out are ones that we've like know and most people know. I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, Earth Girls Are Easy, Teen Witch, and the comedies of Clifford and Major Payne. I love that.
Wow. That's awesome. But choreography,
it's not like, just dancing.
I know, but it just, yeah. I guess I don't know. Like I could see some of those, but like Clifford, I don't know.
Clifford, when he danced with Stefan in the one scene,
I guess.
I just saw those movies. So I was like, oh my gosh. But yeah. And like the scenes in this movie, the dance.
Because that was what came out first. This is our first, One Spin. I'd be curious.
Once Bitten, I'm sure it came out first.
Okay. All right. So that scene is such a Once Bitten scene because it happens in Once Bitten. They do this big dance routine with the, you know, like a seductive, you know, with the lead female vampire. Like, I wonder if they used that movie a little bit for this.
They could have, but as we know from a lot of movie watching and movie sequels, I'm sure there's a movie that came out before Once Bitten that had a similar scene. And then that movie has a similar scene from a movie from the 30s. I know sometimes when it's so close to the other one, it could be that. I've seen Once Bitten. I don't remember like how close it is.
It's very similar. He's got a girlfriend. He sees them. You know, I'm telling you, it's a very similar movie, but listen, one's got Jim Carrey. So, I mean, you got to go with that.
Well, no, this one has Charlie. So then the next scene, we see Louie peeping on Alex, and we get our first 80s boobs of 2021.
It's so funny because, like, really, like, there was no need for that. Like, she just walks out with, like, just her towel falling a little bit and just put it right back up. It was such an 80s, just, we have to have, again, the rule of 80s boobs. You know, they can't have a movie without boobs, and that's what the scene. Like, it really wasn't necessary. I mean, it was necessary, but it wasn't necessary.
Here's what I would say is, I don't know. Exactly. They could have done a take and maybe that was supposed to happen because it seems so accidental, like not like, hey, make it look like an accident. It looked like it was like a legit accident.
It did. But again, 9 out of 10 80s movies all have boobs, you know? So I really think there's a law. If you're going to make a movie in the 80s, you have to have at least 3 seconds of boobs.
Yeah. Sometimes they don't even let movies come out. They're like, kids movie, put boobs in.
That's it. That's it.
stamp of boob approval. So then we see Louis scaling the wall. He's peeping, he's watching. And it's crazy because he, again, these type of vampires in these movies, they have like this different look, which is different lore of vampires. But he does have like a werewolf-ish look.
Yes.
And he played a werewolf in the Monster Squad.
Yes.
So
that's, so that, I mean, that added to it. But this is the scene I did laugh at. I mean, it was pretty funny.
What part did you laugh at? That him looking and the nail slam?
It was so stupid, but it was funny. I mean, his nails got cut off. And I mean, yeah. And he falls all the way down. So he almost seems like a vampire trying to get into the vampire club. And he's like a prospect. He's like a vampire prospect for the club because he seems to go rogue a lot and just he's very sloppy.
He does whatever
he wants. Right. I mean, it's yeah. So he was the best part of the movie.
No, he's up there. So then we cut to Charlie. He's back at his dorm, gets a knock at on the door and he thinks it's Alex, but it's Regine. And he just cannot stop looking at her. And the best is she's like, "Are you Charlie?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm Charlie." And she's like, "Charlie Johnson?" He's like, "Oh no, I'm Charlie Brewster." And she's like, "Oh, okay." And then she like takes this long walk and he just can't stop looking at her. She turns around like, "Got a light?"
Is there a Charlie Johnson from the first movie at all? Or is there anything?
No, I think that was like,
you were just messing with him.
Yeah. But right. Do you know the rules of vampires?
The rules?
There's rules to vampires. And Charlie, because he's taken by her beauty, he breaks the rule that gives her the ability to take over his body.
Is it, you can't leer more than 3 seconds?
No, but he broke that a lot. No, you can't. They can only come in if you invite them in.
That's a rule?
In vampires and forever, Dracula, all of them.
That's not a rule. Because how many times do you see a vampire flying into the window and you know, go?
Yeah, he flies into the window.
No, not this is the only vampire that flies into a window. I mean, you've seen other movies where the vampire comes in there and they're standing over a sleeping person. You know, that's who told you that rule?
Well, it has to be their home. What do you mean who's holding it? It's in a ton of vampire movies.
I have never heard that ever. The rules. That's ridiculous. Vampires don't have rules.
Yes, they do. They have to be invited in. That's why when she's like, "Got a light?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Come in." And she, so like,
what would happen if she tried to walk in without being invited?
She can't make it. She can't go in.
So it's like a force is stopping her from going in because yeah. She wasn't invited.
It's a vampire thing.
That doesn't sound stupid to you.
I there's so many things that are stupid about like movies and stuff that make no sense.
Well, I have to question that one. We definitely need like a Van Helsing, you know, a specialist or something to tell us because that Van sounds Helsing ridiculous.
Himself.
Yes. And I mean, back to him again. I mean, this guy is such a nerd that first of all, he goes to a dinner in a sports coat and then he has a robe. He's in college. What college student has a robe?
Well, maybe he's influenced by his buddy Peter Vincent because he has a robe that he wants. He has.
Yeah, but Peter Vincent's like 60 years old. I mean, this is I don't know. I can't imagine. I've never seen a robe in college. It's ridiculous.
College rule? No robes?
That's if you wear, if you have a robe, you can't go into your dorm. Very simple.
when she starts saying to him when he's like, "Do you want instant coffee?" And she's like, "No." And she just looks at him and says, "Do you know how to use your lips, Charlie?" I'd be like, "Oh my God." In my head, I'm like, what girlfriend? Like, again, he doesn't really think about Alex at all right now. And then I'm just like, this guy, man, just stepping in it. Obviously, what could happen to him if her plan, which we'll get into, succeeds, it's going to be pretty shitty for him. But for right now, you know, you got a maid in the shade.
Listen, she's like, he's like a freshman and she's like a senior in college. Yeah. You know, that's how he's looking at it. You know, like he's got a hot girlfriend, but she's a hot senior. You know, so it's a big difference between a hot freshman and hot senior. And that's how he's looking at her, you know. But another question about the dorms, and he is in dorms. It is the quietest dorms I've ever seen because you don't see another person ever in that in college, except for the Chinese girl that fell and got eaten by the roller skating vampire.
Yeah, there's really not a lot of extra. It's almost like when they're filming stuff right now during the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like no extras.
There's
in this movie,
nobody
except the party. That's like the only part of this movie.
Correct.
Even at the bowling alley with when Charlie's bowling.
Oh,
what?
We'll get to the bowling.
What? Later.
It's so stupid. Why? Oh. Why? There's and is what's the, is that a rule of vampires? Like, what's the fascination of bowling? Because between the doctor, who's well, get, you know, I'm not going to do any spoilers.
Yeah.
But and then these guys, like, what's with the bowling? Like, is that like a favorite pastime of vampires?
I hope so. I was just thinking because it was probably a set. It was probably close by and they needed a look at maybe it's not like there's really too in depth, but no, they shoot like three scenes there.
It's, so, this movie. Ridiculous. It's so stupid.
Well, not the, I love the vampire bowling. We'll get into that. So she starts when they start kissing, she, it's grossed me out. Just even thinking about it. When she puts her, her teeth.
Yeah.
And just like rubs on the cut. Huh.
That was cool.
And then he wakes up and you're like, holy crap. Was it really a dream? Obviously it couldn't have been. It couldn't have been a dream because.
Yeah. But why not? Because this is the second time he dreamed about her. You know, he dreamed about her when he was kissing his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then he dreamed about her now. So in his mind, you know, I think he thinks he keeps dreaming.
Well, this time he definitely isn't dreaming because she had to get invited in. Cause that's how, you know, related in the movie.
I'm looking it up later. I had never heard of that. It's ridiculous.
So then Alex is actually at the door when he wakes up this time. And she notices that he was like kind of scared about it. Cause he was like frightened. Like, wow, how is this happening? And then she goes, you thought I was a vampire, didn't you? So she knows obviously about this. I don't know how you break that to your girlfriend. Is that like a first date conversation? Do you wait till fifth? Or
well, this is a trope we see and we talk about every movie. So I'm assuming that had to be newsworthy, the first movie. You know,
no,
I mean,
it didn't get anywhere.
How did no one, you have dead bodies. You have, I mean,
there were missing people.
Okay. When they killed the vampires, did it just disappear?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What do you
oh.
think vampires do? They have to go to the funeral home and pick out everything? They disintegrate.
Bodies just lay there. They don't turn to dust.
Yeah, they turn to dust.
No. No one. They melt. They melt in this one.
They melt. So, yes.
And then what? The body still. Listen, I. You would think again. I don't know how many people died in the first one, but you would think that people heard some of the ruckus. I mean, you have neighbors. You know, I would think the news would find out about it. I don't think he could hide it.
Well, they knew about the missing people, but I don't think anybody really knew about it. And I don't know how far away his college is from home. Back in the day, you didn't know. You only knew your local news back in the day. You didn't know what was going on in another part of the country.
Yeah, but I also never came across vampires. So, I mean, you know, I mean, that's well, newsworthy.
You know why you never came across? You never let him in. You never invited him in.
You know what? And I've always wanted to meet a vampire, but it was my fault for not letting him in.
Yeah, those door-to-door like vacuum Kirby salesmen. When you're a kid, and they're like, "Can I come in and test out the vacuum?" You're like, "No, you better not."
That could so you say you're, so you're saying the vacuum salesman could have been a vampire?
Oh, they are vampires. That's oh. You can Google that later too. So then we cut to the vampire gang, and they have the dead Asian student in the limo. Well, I guess we had to have that happen because they have to feed, so they're feeding on right outside, and then Bosworth is outside eating bugs. And it's really cool that he told me that he went to the director. A lot of times some directors are like, do what's on the script, whatever. He was able to actually add in the lines. Like, so he's like, I'm just not eating bugs. You know, I'm like a bug connoisseur.
He seems like a guy that would be eating real bugs in the movie just to make it like.
I think they were real bugs.
I was saying, I could see him doing that just to get into the role more, just to eat real like moths and everything.
Yeah.
Did they explain that? Or is that, you know, like do vampires normally do that? Or he just wanted to add that little.
Well, he's not a vampire.
He's not a vampire?
No, we know. No, he's not a vampire. I don't know what he is. That we'll get into that.
How do you know he's not a vampire?
Because he's eating bugs and he's not eating the girl in the car.
Yeah, but he melts with sunlight.
No, he doesn't melt the sunlight.
Oh, he gets cut. He gets cut with the.
Yeah.
He's got to be a vampire. It's a vampire gang. What? No,
he's a bug.
Hanging out with a vampire gang if you're not a vampire.
Well, this isn't like Crips and Bloods. You know, he's just like a bug eater.
So he's like the exterminator of the group. So like, you know, if they're at the vampire house and they need like bugs getting rid of it, like they call him and he just goes there and
he just slurps up the ants, uses a straw.
He's got to be a vampire. All right. This is ridiculous.
Another thing for you to Google. So then we got Charlie and Alex cuddling. He passes out and his cut that he was shaving with was like bleeding. And Alex left a sweet note for him. And she says, I think it's infected. Oh, first it was like, one, I really, really like you, right?
Yeah.
And then the second one was like, I think it's infected. And I forgot what the third thing was. Maybe it was foreshadowing like what she mentions later. But I wanted to ask you this. Did anybody ever leave you a note? A lady friend or anything?
I've never gotten a note. Well, usually I was the one that left.
What? A note? I just thought when I read that, I remember a girl one time, like we hung out for one night and she left a note and she like cleaned my room. I was like 19. And I'm like, what's happening right now? And I terrible enough. I crumbled it up.
So she left you a note like a goodbye. Like instead of like saying goodbye, she left you a note and then you never saw her again.
Well, yeah, sort of.
Then what's the point of leaving a note?
Oh, no, she didn't say goodbye. Nobody says goodbye to me. What?
Right. So she said, "So see you later, Doug. I'm sorry it was so short. Maybe next time you'll do better." And then goodbye?
What was short? The duration or the diameter?
That's, she left it for you to figure out yourself.
Oh, that's great. So then we get to Charlie, which I thought he was done with his shrink, which that was the beginning of the movie, but he goes back. He's obviously like, hey, what the hell's going on? And the shrink two things. Obviously he has to wear shades because he's slowly turning at like a super slow rate of vampire. But why does the shrink have just a loose pill drawer?
And they're like in a Ziploc bag. He takes out the pills in a bag. He goes, hey, it's like ridiculous. But again, he's not really a shrink.
I know. We'll get into that.
Yeah. So, I mean, but you know, you just touched on something that I questioned. So he is turning into a vampire extremely slow.
Yes.
Yet his buddy, not his friend, turns pretty quick.
Well, because they actually fully fed on the buddy.
Well, she fed on him.
She only put her tooth in.
There's a certain amount of blood you have to take in order to turn quicker.
Yeah. It's like a snake. If like a rattlesnake, like sort of bites you, you're like sort of hurt.
Man, I really need to read up on my vampires because I'm so confused of what vampires really are. All right.
Oh man. So, and then the two, again, the suggesting bowling. And I think if we interviewed maybe like the production designer and they're like, hey, the closest location for a different scene that we can use maybe to fit in the budget or something was a bowling alley. And then maybe they rented it and the bowling alley was like, all right, you can use the bowling alley, but you have to use it for like 5 days. And like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're going to use this for three parts of this movie.
Well, I have to be honest. It was also the smallest bowling alley I've ever seen.
I love small bowling alleys like that. There's one in Garwood, New Jersey. That's like so tiny.
Oh, you know what?
Five lanes.
Is it by a bar, like behind a bar?
Mm-hmm.
I went there, I think, because I work in Cran, you know, I work in near Cranford, and we did our holiday party once, and it's like a bar. You walk in, it's a bar, but they have a back room that's a bowling alley of like four lanes.
Yep.
Is that the place?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. It's like an old school bowling alley.
Up until a few years ago, I think they finally digital it. But it used to be manual recording.
Oh, can you imagine like the meetings that were there? Like, because again, it's a hidden gem. Like you wouldn't know. You go in a bar, you would never know there's bowling alley there.
Yeah,
it's
amazing. I remember having really good pizza. That's all I remember. My daddy used to take me there. So then Charlie, actually William Ragsdale, good bowler, good form, almost strike. You know, I don't know how many takes that took to get to that. So his girlfriend. Again, she is kind of nerdy, and the way she approaches it, you don't know what she's about to say to him. She's like, oh, I don't know. You probably won't like it. And she surprised him with symphony tickets. And that's a big step in the relationship, I think.
Why?
I don't know. Symphony is like, I don't know. That seems like a pretty serious thing. You're asking a guy that you're dating to wear something really nice. What if he doesn't have anything nice?
Well, he's been wearing something nice the entire movie. Okay. Hey, so
he dresses good.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, listen, this guy, I mean, he seems like a guy that would enjoy it. I mean, but considering I'm surprised she asked him, only because he's so into like vampires and like sci-fi movies, the way he was talking to her, like it didn't seem like his cup of tea, you know? But he also seemed hesitant when she first mentioned it.
I know, that was weird. I don't get it.
Yeah. You know, and again, he should be kissing her ass because of the way he's been, you know, kind of treating her lately. So like, I'm surprised he was doing that.
Yeah, especially that he ruined like their makeout session.
Yeah.
He made her walk home. Like, yeah, he should have just done whatever. So the next scene, and it says Charlie has a buddy walk in, steal a tie. And dude,
Hold on. Okay. Wait a second. Wasn't there a toy called My Buddy that Chucky was named after?
All right. We're not going to get into doll stuff, right?
No. But I'm just saying, buddy, I don't think they would have a stranger, you know, as a pal to a child.
Well, it's a stranger at first. And once you have it a year, then it becomes my friend.
Oh, so you upgrade. So buddies, it's like you start off as a buddy, but then you work your way up to a friend.
Yes. And then my buddy sends you a new patch to put on.
Okay. Now I understand. Okay.
And dude, his buddy looks so old. And later in the movie, when they talk about his buddy and they reveal his age. And if you remember at the scene, at what he says here, he goes, come on, man, you've been here for like 6 years. And then they say later that he's 22 years old. I'm like, something doesn't jive. Unless that was a joke.
Yeah,
wouldn't your joke be like, not like a little bit older? It'd be like, hey, you've been here for like 30 years, man. That's a joke.
Well, I read one thing.
Ooh.
All right. It's a little morbid. A little, okay. You know, like Debbie Downer. But I read one thing that he was actually dying of AIDS filming this. Like he had AIDS and like people on it. That's why he's not in a lot of scenes, because they were afraid to like work with him.
Yeah.
So he's only in like really two scenes or whatever. But yeah, he had AIDS. He was sick filming this movie. That's one thing I read.
That's really cool that they kept him in the movie and they knew about it.
Yeah.
Because as we know, like Magic Johnson and other people, they're kind of like ostracized. Like people,
especially back then, you know, when it was the unknown was still there. Like, so no, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is, because there's like kind of like a close scene between Julie, and Russell. Wow.
So, all right, Debbie Downer. All right.
No, I like hearing that stuff. Well, we just talked about Menendez, brother. So Charlie, he's on his way. He's leaving, and he sees that limo again out front in front of his dorm, and Regine's talking to his buddy Richie. So within seconds, he's just like, "Yeah, whatever," you know. And it seems like it was starting already, because when we cut to Alex, she's like looking at her watch, like pacing. And it's already like he didn't even like start following them yet. But the ball's on this guy.
Well, why was he following the limo? Because his buddy was going with these girls. Did he suspect that vampires are going on? Like, what was his motivation of following them?
I think because Regine, like, you know, obviously imagining her in the back of the car and the dream that he had and the feeling.
So you think he was following her and not him?
Yeah. Again, he was his buddy. He could give two shits about it. I mean, honestly, maybe this is a element that he's maybe close to a friend now, because he really is putting it all on the line for this guy that really just seems like he just comes and takes ties.
Well, maybe I would say maybe he just cares about the tie. He wants to make sure where the ties are. because if he's going to like a mosh pit with his tie, you know, he wants to make sure he gets a tie back in one piece.
Could you imagine if that's what he did? He was like, hey, Regine, do whatever you want, Tim. Just don't get blood on the silk tie.
Just give me the tie back.
And it just so happened, obviously, Regine and her crew are living at where Peter Vincent lives. So yeah. So when he goes there, then he's convincing, because Peter's probably broken inside. Like, oh my God, this guy said he didn't believe in it, and now he does again. And he finally changes his mind to go out to the party.
He seems to have more fun than the kid anyway. I mean, he stays, but yeah, he convinces him to go. And this party is wild. It's a little bizarre, you know? But again, I mean, are they all vampires?
Well, like, we is see this, like, who is vampires.
No, I know that. But because I also think the other guy's a vampire, not just a bug eater. But I mean, I'm assuming this is a vampire. This is a vampire party, and you have all prospects or people that they're trying to turn into vampires there. So like each one has their own, you know, it's almost like, what's it called? Dusk Till Dawn. Like, you know, yeah. Like, you know, they've got everybody up there, and then all of a sudden, you know, when the lights turn off, half the people are going to die and turn into vampires.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's sort of like that. So, you don't know, like the first guy, when they walk in and I love when they're walking in the hallway and he's like, do you have the holy water? Do you have the crucifix? Do you have the wooden stakes? And he's like, yes, Charlie. And then they go in and the guy opens the door and he like opens his mouth. Yeah. He hits him with the crucifix. I was like, oh man. And it's just like the plastic teeth fall out. And yeah, this
okay. So why was he wearing that? Because no one else is dressed up, right?
Well, it's a vampire party. Yeah. Remember the bowl? As soon as they get in there.
Yeah. The teeth.
Yeah.
What's a vampire party? Like, because I didn't see too many vampire costumes. He was the only one.
He was only he read the memo wrong, the invitation. It just said wear vampire teeth. You have to dress like a vampire.
Okay. All right. This movie has so many holes. It's ridiculous. What?
So then we're cutting back and forth between Alex, but man, I love Louis. His role and his swagger, the way he shows up to like go up to Alex, he's like, hey, you got a ticket? I want to go into this.
I mean, listen, no offense, but he looks like a creeper.
Oh, he does.
And yeah, so how could she possibly want to give him the other ticket? Even though, I mean, knowing her, like you'd want to sit next to this guy who don't know. First of all, I don't know too many people that are like scalping tickets or looking for tickets at an event like that. Yeah. You know, I don't think that's a big thing to do, but like you would trust a guy that looks as creepy as him to like sit next to you. And like, I mean, that's, you know, shame on her.
He's rocking like a bomber jacket. Maybe it's like over the top swagger. Like
over the top.
Maybe she's like, right now, I want the complete opposite of Charlie. The complete opposite. Losing hair, full head of hair. No, I thought that same thing, but I think maybe the swag. Louis got the swag.
Or just she was just so pissed off. She's like, I don't care. And just, you know,
whoever it was.
Well, listen, she does talk to him a few times throughout the movie. So maybe she does like him a little bit.
She does kind of like have a soft spot, because there's one part when he like kind of convinces her to like, well, we'll get to that later. But I'm like, wow. She kind of like, maybe she's like on the fence with both of them, you know?
But he is a little aggressive.
He is a little. Yeah, very aggressive. So we come back to Charlie and he sees his buddy and because he saw his buddy get bit in the earlier scene when he like scaled the one in the stairwell. So that's like kind of made him go to Peter's. So he's like trying to like check his buddy's neck. And he was,
he was sleeping. He passed out.
He was being like super drunk. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's important to know, because the guy wakes up while he's like checking him out. So that was kind of funny too.
I think he said, I think this is too much, Brewster.
Yeah.
I love that.
But I think it's a lame reason why he couldn't find.
No, I think that's what do you mean?
Come on. Okay. If you have a scar, you're not going to see makeup on his neck. Even if you know, you're looking, I mean, you're going to, come on.
It's Hollywood makeup, just, baby.
Ugh.
You ever see the movie FX?
Yeah.
In that movie?
I mean, he's not an FX artist.
Slit his wrists, you know? Yeah, Joe, right, love. Whatever. That's on the bucket list. FX too.
Oh, I haven't seen either one in a long time. I have to see the first one's great. First one's amazing. Oh, yeah.
So then we see, so Charlie, he wants to leave because he can't find anything on his buddy's neck. And then Regine walks in and they start dancing. And then you hear, bow, bow. The music in this movie is, oh my God, the guitar solo. And it's like kind of like a Nokia cell phone, like, bow, bow, bow. bow, bow, bow. I don't know. It's just great. And God, it's just the dancing of her. And when she gets really close, the effects team that worked on this one and the first one are like just unreal. But when she's doing the back and forth with the crucifix and her face changes.
Yeah, that was cool.
So cool, man.
Do you think now I'm assuming he's not a good dancer. So do you think like vampires have the power to make whoever it is just to dance, you know, well?
Well, they have to, because he has no rhythm on that. None.
But I'm telling you, this is the same exact scene in Once Bitten. Yeah. There was a huge scene, but the girlfriend was there. No going back. He was going back and forth, dancing with his girlfriend and then dancing with the, I forget what her name is, but the vampire. So, yeah. But maybe vampires like to dance.
They like to dance and rollerblade and bowl. But, yeah, so he's like going back and forth. And then we find out. So this is kind of, so she's a performance artist that we find out, which is kind of like an artistic kind of thing. And so the woman tells Charlie that, because Peter Vincent goes, oh, are you an actress?
Right.
And she's like, no. And this random woman that's getting autographs says, no, she's a performance artist. Are you going to perform when you're in town? And then at the same time, she starts like rubbing her neck. And I'm like, I don't know if that lady is in on it. Is she a plant to tell everybody that she's a
she has to, because I mean, like, I mean, is she really a performance artist that just traveling? You know,
she
like
must, I mean, be honestly. The only reason I say that is, how does later she get that gig?
Right, right.
So she must be known. I was thinking there it could be plants, but no, later on the other movie, she couldn't have like that many people involved, but
right, right.
She just starts like rubbing her hair, yep. And I'm like, wow. And then this is the part right away. Charlie goes, Alex, this guy sucks, man.
Hey, okay. So at that point, would you even show up? Like, because, you know, he's obviously super late. I mean, he's got to know the show's over by now, you know, or close to. Wouldn't it be better not to show up and maybe make an excuse you got in a car accident or a flat tire or something?
Whoa.
Well, I'm just saying, why even show up at that point?
Wow. So you're saying like a fender bender, or like, I flipped over three times on the highway. I saved an old woman. And at the same time, I delivered a baby.
This coming from the same guy who said he's witnessed vampires. So I think if you could come up with a lie about vampires, you know, or the truth, you can come up with, you know, getting in a car accident. I'm just saying, or a flat tire. Okay. You know, I think you have better way to save face by doing that than just showing up after the show's over.
No, I know.
You know, that's a little, I don't know.
I know. The balls on that guy, man.
It is. And again, the fact that she giving him like a third chance, like, is amazing.
Yeah. So like you said, Peter's the party animal. He wants to stick around. He's like, dude, I live here. I don't have to drive, you know? So out of nowhere, like, some weird things start happening. We see the one woman getting like, cause earlier all those things were happening, but it wasn't like to the extreme level. So I guess almost probably Regine and the other vampires that were there were like, screw it. He's by himself. Because
it's time. That's what it is. And now that, you know, the purpose of having that party is coming around.
Yeah, but the chewing on the one woman, and she like starts like making these sounds. And I love the mirror trick was in the first one. So in the first movie, he doesn't believe Charlie. They don't even know Charlie. They just went to the studio because they were huge fans of the show. And he went to Chris Sarandon's house next door, Jerry Dandridge. And he... does that. He has his mirror and he's like checking his face and he doesn't see the reflection. So it's cool, that throwback, to see that the two women he just saw dancing, not there at all. And then his panic. That's one thing I love in movies. I absolutely love it. When people are trying to get away and the person's just there.
Yeah.
And just the way it's done in this, like, he goes into the hallway, she's there like waiting for him. And then he's like, ah, he runs down the stairs waiting for him. It was just perfect.
Well, then why did he even go? Like, he seems kind of a wimpy guy. Like, he seems like afraid.
He is.
So, okay. So then why would you even bother going? After witnessing what you witnessed in the first movie, at this point, wouldn't you want to be as far away as possible for anything vampire related?
I think as he was successful, he kind of got confidence from it, because he felt like a fraud for all the years playing a vampire. Because that's all the movies. He plays a vampire killer in all the movies.
Okay.
So maybe he felt like, hey, I did it.
Is it successful or lucky?
Ooh. Well, after this movie, I don't think it's luck anymore.
Well, okay. I mean, but the first one, I'm assuming luck. Like, you know, because he's not a professional. You know, he's a professional performance artist.
Are there professional vampire?
Van Helsing.
I bet you one thing Van Helsing knows, don't invite him in. You stay out there, Kirby vacuum guy. So I love that part when, and this is what, again, this is where she reveals, like, she's Jerry Dandridge's sister, and she wants to, you know, basically punish Charlie. And at this point, obviously she could have killed. And I think this is what makes villains great, and why we question villains in a lot of movies, because they could have killed people in the most simplest ways so many times, like Dr. Evil and Austin Powers, they mock all the time. She could have killed him, got one of the people away. Then you have Charlie all by himself, but she doesn't. She lets him go.
Well, it is, but if she turns into a vampire, he becomes immortal, correct?
Who? Peter Vincent? Oh, Charlie, yeah.
So then how is that punishing him?
Oh, well, she wants to make him immortal and basically enslave him for the rest of his life.
Ah, okay.
That's what it is. Just punishing him for all of eternity. Like, kind of like sending him to, like, hell on earth, I guess.
All right. Since you're a vampire expert, so I have a question. So sure. if I'm assuming immortal means that you can't die. Right?
Yeah, I guess. Well, you're not going to die. I guess, would that be immortal? Would be
no, okay,
right,
so immortal means that you can't die naturally, but okay. you can die other ways.
Yeah.
Is that what? Okay. All right. Just wanted to, you know.
I'm glad I cleared that up.
I'm glad, because I mean, immortal to me, I thought meant like you can't die, yet you could die with a wooden stake and sunlight and garlic and all that stuff. So, you know.
Garlic is always the one. Like, you could say anything about the not inviting in. That's just like, just makes the opportunity for the vampire. They have to, you know, they can't be easy. They can't kill somebody in their sleep. But garlic? Who wrote that?
What would happen? What would happen if you're an Italian vampire? Because I mean, you know, it's very hard to, you know, not use garlic in anything you make. I mean, I'm Italian and we use garlic a lot. So like, would that be torture?
It would be torture. And you know what? I bet you there's no vampires in Italy, because what are they going to eat? Everything's gonna be garlic. When was the last time you heard about an Italian person getting killed by a vampire?
All right, exactly. That's true.
Exactly. That's
true. Because I mean, I would also, I mean, if I happen to be, you know, in Italy and a vampire, I'd be nervous that by accident I put garlic and I kill my whole family. You know, like I wouldn't want to be a vampire in Italy. That is, but true. I would just, yeah. All right.
So I would love to do the research. This is like another thing we research. When did garlic first turn up in vampire movies? I wonder if that guy's like, what do I hate? And he's like, broccoli? Ah, that's weird. Let's go garlic. Because I don't understand it. The stench, but the everything to go with it.
Can you imagine if it was broccoli, though, instead of garlic? Yeah, you're shoving like the bushy part of the broccoli in their face and it just...
Or they accidentally like buy from the supermarket, like the non-bushy part that you can buy, the broccoli cuts, which I don't even know why they sell those. Whenever I buy them by accident, I feel like a moron. I'm like, why did I just buy this like piece of, it's like a stick sometimes.
Yeah. Well, but see, now I would believe that more, because then you could carve into like a steak.
Ooh.
They are pretty hard, the stems. So, I mean, use it as weapons.
See? It could like double, you know, like a double, double-edged sword.
I'm researching that too, because maybe broccoli is one of the things, because you never hear about it, but maybe it's one of those hidden gems that can also kill a vampire. Because I didn't know roses can either. And, you know, we learned that also. So
I didn't know that either, but it must be in Bram Stoker's Dracula, because that's what she reads.
Did you read it? I saw the movie. I didn't read it. I saw the movie. And
oh, my
I
don't God. Know. You sound like one of my wife's students. Oh, I didn't read James and the Giant Peach. I watched the movie.
I didn't know we had homework assignment about reading Dracula before we do this, but I don't remember any vampire. I can't imagine Gary Oldman dying from roses. Sorry.
Well, that's I didn't, fun fact for everyone listening, Seal kissed by a rose. It's about killing vampires. More, you know, So then he, Peter runs back. He finally gets back. I love that. I love that little room that he has anyway. It's probably like a really sweet, like reading room. But when he sits on that, like kind of like, it looks like a Lazy Susan, like a little elevated stage. And he's sitting there and he's just surrounded by balls of garlic and candles. And he's just calling Charlie and he's not answering. Cause Charlie's having like his own little thing at home. He's like in the shower, like, what's happening to me? Cause he's slowly more and more, you know, his change is happening.
Very slowly though. It is very slowly.
How'd you like when Louis brings her home and he's like, again, he's almost like the jock in high school. She's walking at a normal pace and he's like,
okay. So first of all, I mean, again, he looks creepy as hell. She doesn't know him. She's going to allow him to walk him home. On the flip side, her boyfriend left her in the streets to walk the dorm. He walks her all the way back. So
1 point for Louis.
100%. So I think that's where, like, she's seen, like, he's better boyfriend material.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So, I mean, you know, he's courteous.
He is. I do like when I do like the effects in this movie. And I know it's not like the traditional vampire, like the Dracula, but when he turns and the dog's barking and he turns and it's like Predator-ish, it's so cool how quick it is. And then he turns back and then he's trying to go inside. He wants to get invited in so then he can feed. And Brian Thompson, Bosworth's pissed off. He's like, you're supposed to bite her on the neck. And I love Louis' swagger. It's almost like he shrugging his shoulders. He's like, well, I'm not hungry right now.
You look like Rodney Dangerfield doing that.
I mean, no respect. I'm not hungry.
Well, this is the moment when I realized he was a vampire, because all this time I thought he was a werewolf, you know, again, because he looked like a werewolf. He had the nails and everything. But this is when he said that, I'm like, all right, he's a vampire. But like, is he trying to feed on her or is he trying to date her? Because he seems to really like her.
He's trying to date her, but I'm sure the overall plan, I wish we had a scene of like Regine, like obviously Brian's like her, just like chauffeur, like bodyguard in a sense, but it'd be great if it was like her, like giving like a boss meeting, like, hey, you're supposed to, you know, bite her on the neck by Tuesday. It's Thursday when he can have the bite on the neck. Cause yeah, he's blowing the whole plan. I wonder what it really was, but it just, again, to get rid of her, because I think that's great when you're able to take the hero of the stories, like girl or boyfriend, because then the hero is like weakened because they're worried about that, which happens at the end of the movie.
But what is there, like a certain, like, what's the reason why like she's so important to turn into it? Like, you're at a college campus, there's tons of people, so why is she so important?
So now I didn't even think about this until you just said that. Maybe for all the eternity, maybe Regine really was trying to do it without having to tell Peter, because Peter revealed it by looking in the mirror and figured it out. Maybe she wanted to turn both of them and then maybe just end up killing her and get rid of her, but make Charlie like be more into it. I don't know. Make him like comforted. I don't know. But no,
I just wonder. I just wonder in general, like for vampires, like, you know, when they have their set, like even with the, like Jim Carrey, I think they, you know, when he was in Once Bitten, like she had her like claws in him trying to turn him. Like, I wonder if they're looking for specific types of people to turn, you know, like if there's like, again, a code.
I'm thinking they look for, you know, you got to fit in, you know, rollerblades. They want to use the last guy that got killed's rollerblades and outfit. Now, I don't know how they would choose. Because like, why didn't they choose like the Asian student? You know, they set on her. So I think it has to be like a purpose, because they don't want too many. Because if too many kill, then it'd be all over the news. But if one or two go missing, yeah. So I love the scene, just the effect of it, how they did it. I don't know, but it looks so great when Charlie's in bed and the cloud of smoke just like fills the room, and then she disappears out of nowhere, just again looking amazing, and she's sucking on his neck a little bit more, getting a little of the vampire juices, and maybe he's like 25% vamp right now, something like that. But so then that psycho, I think he's more of a psycho now. I really do now. When you really think about how crazy he is with Alex, I know Charlie has a lot going on, But he shows up with like these flowers that say like, forgive me. And I'm just like,
and honestly, the minute she saw them, she was smiling. Like she was okay. Like again, listen, first of all, Charlie might've been her first boyfriend because he was trying to have sex with her earlier or he wanted it. And then he made a comment like, you know, I'm waiting for sex or something like yes. that. So like, right. So maybe, you know, he's the first boyfriend she's ever had.
Yeah, and he did that in the first one, too. He was like, come on, we've been going together for like three. Yeah, he's like just a horn dog.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, listen, this guy, I mean, he's also what? He's the guy from Mannequin, right? Isn't he the Mannequin, the movie Mannequin? Isn't he a Mannequin?
The main guy?
I thought he was a man. He starred in the movie Mannequin.
No, he didn't. That's a Weekend at Bernie's. New Jersey Andrew native. McCarthy?
Or maybe he was Mannequin 2?
Was he in Mannequin? I thought he was a Mannequin. On the Move? You can look
that up. I don't know.
So I love it. He says, I love you. Is it him?
No, I'm looking now. Okay. Go ahead.
He goes, I think he almost like doesn't even say love. I think he says, I'm falling for you. She goes, I came to college to be a clinical psychologist. And it's like storms off.
Well, no, he said, I love you, but yes, that was weird also because she's the one that said, I think I like you, you know, I'm liking you or something. She wrote that note to him and then she's like, yeah, but she was smiling with the flowers. So I thought she already forgave him at that point. I don't know.
But maybe she's thinking like, hey, this makes it a little bit better, but hey, this is the guy that just blew me off. And then the next day he's saying he loves me.
Or maybe she's thinking about Uncle Rico.
Well, who wouldn't, man? Louis got the swag. So Charlie, one thing I do agree with Charlie about in the next line, when she talks about like Dracula and she kind of like mocks like the vampires and it's not that good. Like why are people into it? But I do agree with that line. I actually want to like get that printed or put that somewhere. Cause I do hate when people say they hate something that they never even like seen or read, because that's just the worst thing ever. Like we see people on, you know, Twitter and you can follow us at Sequels Only and you'll see people that are like, oh, that movie sucks. And it's like, oh, did you see it? I'm like, and they're like, no. And it's like, well, how can you judge it? Some guy was like, oh, Escape Plan 3 sucks. And I'm like, oh, did you see it? He said, no. So how do you say that? What is this?
By the way, he was a Mannequin too.
He's the main guy from Mannequin 2?
I will be reaching. Oh, is he the main guy? I would assume because he plays Prince William and the other guy. So, So guess what? I'll be reaching out to Charlie.
Charlie.
We got to get
Mannequin 2 is great.
Yeah.
Well, not really, but. So then Peter finds Charlie, finally finds him, and Charlie shuts him down. So he chooses his girl because, again, he thinks this something's happening to him. Like he has to. Third interaction with Regine after meeting her for two seconds.
How stupid are you? Like, he's a completely different person than he was in the beginning of the movie. You know, the fact that he wants to wear sunglasses and he's never done that before, you think something's wrong? Like, you know, like he's like, how can he be that oblivious? And again, he's surrounded by vampires in the first movie, so he kind of knows what to like see and find. How about like the first thing I would do is like, all right, look in a mirror.
Well, he's not fully changing, so maybe he's like 25%. Like,
so only half his face would show.
But I think he's just choosing Alex because he screwed her over so many times. He's like, I gotta again, like, rip this band-aid off, which he did earlier. So maybe that's what he did. But then the next scene, when she leaves to go to class, and he starts eyeing up the girls, not like because he's like, hey, yeah, they're hot, like,
yeah,
like food. He's like, I'm hungry. Yeah. So how about when he grabs the pizza? Again, it's at a bowling alley pizzeria. And the lady is like describing the pizza. I'm like, no bowling alley pizzeria is, especially that place, like out of college. It is like going through. And okay, so there's a huge line behind him. And he's eating the pizza.
It's pretty gross. He paid
for it. Grossly. And there's people waiting behind him. Like, hey, step aside, buddy. And then when she says garlic, he starts spitting it back out and just runs.
Well, wouldn't Did he feel something first? Is that why he asked? Or like, I don't remember. Like,
no, she was like, just, while he was eating it, she's like, the cheese is fresh and the tomatoes are, we just did it this morning. And I'm like, all right. And then she's like, oh, and here's my secret. Oh, my secret ingredient is a whole bunch of garlic.
Which is on every pizza. So I don't know what secret ingredient, but okay. So he didn't feel the effects of garlic. He just spit it out. So he had to have assumed he's turning to a vampire reactive.
Yeah, I just think it was he didn't want to like blow off Alex again or lose her. Yeah, he's not going to get anything better.
Listen, he's hooked up two hot girls in this movie, so his confidence is pretty high right now.
Yeah, I guess for the rest of eternity, is it worth it? Survey says maybe. Like maybe, I don't know. So then, man, this next scene I think is really cool. So he knows obviously like something is happening. So he goes to find Peter. Peter's not there. He leaves him a note. He's out. So then he's just like waiting in the lobby. He just happens to see Bosworth, like the timing of it. And Bosworth is going into the basement. So he's like, oh, let me lurk behind there. So what do you think about that whole thing? Like just having the coffins, like, kind of like within access for people in the building.
No, I mean, listen, I thought it was cool. I didn't expect to see anyone in one. So that was pretty cool, you know, to see someone laying in the coffin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just feel like, you know, what if the janitor went down there?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they really weren't trying to hide, you know.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I was thinking. Like, there was like a bunch of like old furniture down there. And I think there was like cleaning supplies on one part of it. So yeah, that could have easily happened. Like, there's an old chair. Like, Charlie breaks
it. It looked like it was like a backstage of the theater, you know, on campus where it has like all like the old props and costumes you know.
But I did like the scene because he could have obviously chose, like right at that moment, to kill Belle. But he's like, hey, let me keep looking. Because another rule of vampires, kill the head vampire, they all die. Which didn't really happen.
Well, let me ask you. So this is the scene where he rips the leg off the stool?
Yeah.
You think it's that easy to do?
It was broken already.
So was it broken already? I don't think so. Do you think it was
stronger? Maybe it's
vampire strength?
Yes. Okay. 25% of it.
Okay.
That's why it took a little bit more force.
Gotcha. Okay.
I do love when Bosworth comes back up and he's like hiding and he's like, oh, the fear of that, like that guy, and he's eating bugs. When he has the bug, I think he really ate the bugs. I should have asked him.
That would have been great. I bet you he did. He had
on to, his hand?
Yeah. Oh. Well, he seems like a guy that's not really scared of a lot of things. You know, so I could see him just doing it just to, you know, kind of like almost like creep everybody in the movie also, just like by doing that, you know, to make his character even better.
No, that's true. So, yeah. So then he goes down. He finds Regine's. Hers is like in this area that's underneath the elevator shaft in the building. He opens the casket, sees her. She's there, eyes closed. Then when he lifts it, her eyes open.
Yeah.
Like, little red dots like lasers, and then it goes into his eyes, and he just like puts it down, and he's like in this trance. And dude, again, she wants to make him suffer forever, so I would have kind of backfired when he walked into the street. And dude, that car was so close and going fast. That wasn't like a movie stunt that's like, hey asshole, get out of the way, and like a brake near him. That went like past him.
So you think it was just a car that happened to be random on set that just,
no,
you know, like a real car?
No, what I'm saying, that'd be great, right? Hey, I thought you put the barricade up. I thought you put the barricade up. No, it was just the fact that usually it's to stop short, so the actor's not gonna. But that thing went like, it probably really wasn't that close, but just perspective wise, I'm like, holy shit. But could you imagine if she wakes up, like Regine wakes up from her fall, like, I don't know if she was like fully conscious when that happened. She wakes up. She's like, oh, I can't wait to torment Charlie more. And it's like, oh, Charlie died. to get hit by a car because you had him in a trance. And she's like, oh, damn.
Well, you know, I mean, shame on her, though, because he's obviously getting closer and closer to, like, finding out who she is and almost killing her.
Yeah.
Like, she's taking a lot of chances at this point. Like, you know, I know she wants to torture him, but, like, she's got to think, like, he's getting closer to, like, killing me. Like, let me just kill him now and get out of the way. She's not a smart vampire.
It's just villains. Villains are not smart. That's why villains rarely win.
This group is definitely, again, I think this is like the rejected table, the Molly crew of vampires.
So then we cut to the library and Alex is reading Dracula and she's doing like that speed reading, which people do. And they actually, like, it works for you, but just watch it.
Yeah. I mean, how big, I mean, I'm assuming Dracula, like the original is probably a long, big book.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. She read it in a few hours.
What speed reading is.
No, I understand that. I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know if speed reading goes that fast in a couple hours, like a 1,000-page book in a couple hours.
I don't know, but it was very important for the rest of this movie that she read that book.
Well, she would never know about the fake roses, you know, which we got to find out about that, you know. But okay, so how late is this that the library is still open? No one else is in there.
Maybe, again, she's a nerd, a hot nerd. It's Friday night. Everybody's partying. She's the only one.
So you think she has a key to the library?
No, they're just open late and they're just like, hey, whatever. There was no old librarian. They should have had like the token old librarian get taken out by Louis.
Oh, there's no old librarians in college. It's usually students that like work in a library and all that.
Oh, what do they do? Just throw the old people out?
No, they work in the high school libraries.
Oh. All right, old people, you stay at the high school level. So I love when she's reading and you see his vampire hand like right behind her. She turns around like spooked. I would be a little spooked that he's following her. Like if I was her, but maybe in the other end, she's like, he's a go-getter. Charlie's not like this.
No, 100. And you know what? I'm surprised. I didn't expect it to go the way it did. I guess they were running, you know, time in the movie, but I didn't think he's going to show up there either. Like I thought he was going to be late or something like that. Like the fact that, like, first of all, they bring in dinner to the library. I mean, come on. Again, this whole like scene is so stupid. But yeah, I think she likes Uncle Rico. I think Louis. His name is Louis.
Louis.
All right. I think the fact that he's trying hard. Like Charlie's not trying.
No, he's trying after he screws up.
Right,
Louis like 100%.
Wait, but by then it's too late.
He does say like creepy lines. That again, maybe because she doesn't get flattered by Charlie in the way she wants. He says, "Oh, don't worry, you look good scared." He said that.
He looks like a homeless psychopath. I mean,
I love John Grease, but I'm gonna say something sort of mean. He looks like he could be cousins with Clint Howard. Like he's Clint Howard. Clint Howard's head is like if you like smush down John Grease's.
Wait, is this insulting for Louis or Clint Howard?
I don't know. Both of me, I love both of them, but
I could see him also like and maybe partially related to Jim from Taxi.
And his name's Louis.
See? I'm just saying.
So then Charlie shows up. Bosworth's like, hey, I'm gonna seal the deal later. Bosworth, don't worry, I'm gonna eat. And then Charlie shows up. So then they suggest, you know, you need to let off some steam. You should go bowling. So they go bowling. And dude, this scene is amazing. The music, and it was just so cool asking Brian about it because I was like, you must have had such a blast. And he said they did. And years later, for his son's 12th birthday party, he rented out the same bowling alley.
That's awesome. I bet you that whole bowling scene was all ad-libbed. Like, I think, like, they just said, listen, just act like an idiot, you know, pick up the two balls and bang them together and slide down a thing. Like, just do whatever, you know. And I bet you they just all you know, and they kept the best parts. Because they look like they're having fun. Like, they look like, I can't believe we're doing a scene like this for this movie. Let's just make the best of it and just act like idiots. Because that's what it looked like.
And they did all their own stunts. And I asked Brian if he did that at a birthday party.
This stunts? What stunts did they do?
What are you talking about? John Green, did you ever step on the wax on a bowling alley? He was walking all the way out. He fell on that, and they actually threw Russell with his roller skates down the lane.
Well, first of all, no, I never stepped on it because you're not allowed to go over the line.
Well, sounds like somebody's not a rule breaker. That sounds like a Charlie thing to do. But no, I know it's not like an intense stunt, but it's cool to see those people. Like you said, they were just like really messing around. So he like really screwed up and really fell.
So do you think the rollerblading vampire choreographed that whole scene?
Maybe. You know what? Maybe. But I asked Brian, at your son's birthday party, did you do the slam of the two balls behind the back throwing? He said, no, he had to act like an adult, but he thought about it.
That's
but
no, awesome.
I do love, and this is how you know he's not a vampire, even this part. You should know this by now. So when they kill the person, like, hey, and again, I guess this happens a lot at this bowling alley, because the guy's like, no, they were closed. And then that guy gets killed right away. But okay. When Louie is finagling around the bar and he, like, I don't know where you hear this sound, and the bowling ball that comes up is the guy's head, and it looks just like the guy. And Bosworth's creeped out. A vampire wouldn't be creeped out by blood. He is.
Maybe he's a vegetarian vampire, and that's why he eats bugs, and he doesn't want to be near meat.
You know what? That is something. I don't know. If you eat a bug, it's a meat. That's a.
It's not the same. It's like eating fish when you're vegetarian. So
a hypocrite.
Well, he's not a vegan. He's a vegetarian. So,
well, a fish isn't a vegetable. You're a vegetarian.
No. A vegan only doesn't eat milk, eggs, fish.
Yeah.
You know, right. A vegetarian can eat fish.
No, you can't. You're a vegetarian.
A vegetarian, they don't count that. They count meat and poultry, but fish doesn't count.
What if a fish is listening right now? Like, they don't matter to you?
All right. If you're a vegan, a vampire, or a vegan.
A vegetarian.
Vegetarian. I can't imagine his role then, if he's hanging out with them. So,
I don't know what he is either, but it's like so... I don't know.
It's bizarre. It doesn't make sense. But again, they're all vampires except him. That doesn't make sense. So they obviously all have a different quirk. You know, one looks like a werewolf, one rollerblades, and he eats bugs. I bet you, again, I think he's a vegetarian vampire and he doesn't eat meat. And that's what I think.
I wonder if there's a part that they like cut out, like that kind of talked about like what his origin was. But anyway, I love when Louis was said, hey man, don't lose your head. He's drinking the blood, the thick blood. And then they just start grunting, like, dude, he's getting ready to murder Louis. He's choking him, holding him up, and they like just begin to kill each other. Love that.
No, that's funny.
I love that part. So then Peter, I love this. When Peter's at the bar by himself, because again, he's going crazy. A person that he went through a traumatic experience with says, hey, I don't believe you anymore. Then he said, hey, I believe you. Oh no, my girlfriend's around. I don't believe you. Hey, I'm going to leave this note at your door. It's like this crazy, just everything.
I think he just feels depressed, and he feels like a loser. I mean, I think Charlie made him feel like a loser.
Yeah. And this is just before the part he loses. Yeah. He gets fired. He shows up to work and he's like, hey, we got to go on air. And everybody was getting pissed. We didn't talk about it in the first scene of the movie when we see him. The producer is he going off script again? Because he talks about like vampires, and I actually really saw vampires. So the guy like gets rid of him, and then he notices a Regine cardboard cutout. So then this is what forces him to go to the bar. But
this is also where he gains his manhood, because he becomes the vampire hunter at this part.
Well, in a few minutes, yeah. So
yeah.
But he's sitting at the bar, and some guy comes up, and he's like, I know you, don't I? And he's like, I'm a vampire killer. Not like, hey, I was that actor that was a vampire killer. But because the combination of that guy asking and Regine on the TV doing what, I don't know, I'm guessing it's obviously a basic cable show. It is basically like the dance she's doing. Again, she's a performance artist. That whole scene, splashing blood on her face. Like, I don't know what we were really seeing. and what the people in the audience were seeing, because I don't know if she was like just freaking out. I don't know.
See, I think I thought, I mean, again, it's probably not, but I thought like she was trying to put like the viewers in a trance or something. Like that was her way of like, you know, again, that's the purpose. Like, you know, there's no purpose for her to be a performance artist in, except for use it for some purpose. And I thought maybe whatever she was doing, that dance or whatever, was putting the viewers in a trance, like, or something.
Yeah, the reason I sort of agree with you, but then there's one part when she's splashing the blood on her face, they cut to people on the crew watching her.
Yeah.
And they're just like looking. And then I'm like, there's no reaction for them. Like, it must be something. So I don't know if that was just something that Charlie was seeing and Peter Vincent, but yeah, no. So when Peter Vincent just keeps repeating, I'm a vampire killer, and the guy's like freaked out, and then he's like, I'm a vampire, and then he leaves and he shows up, and then now Charlie's watch again on his romantic date, he turns it on, and that's it. Yeah, that's what's confusing now, because don't you remember Alex was like, oh, you can leave this on, it's frightening, and they're like, oh no, where's Peter? And then she's like, why'd you turn that off? Because he was getting in a trance. But she was like, I was getting into that, Charlie. I actually enjoyed that.
Right. I think she was in a trance. Like, what? Like, you know, like, again, so she's watching it, like, because she wasn't into any of that. Although she just read the book. So maybe, you know, she's has a different feel for vampires now.
Yeah, she read it in 2 hours and she knows it all. But I love when, I don't know, where they're watching it, Peter shows up with I love that. He tries to kill her, like, yeah. But you're right, he did it. Do it, you know?
Yeah.
But I do like when he like mentions the TV. He's like, satellite TV, which is not satellite. It's antenna. It's not a satellite.
Well, back then, geez.
So here's like one like movie mistake. So here's a hole for you. So vampires, obviously no reflection. Cameras use mirrors. So obviously she shouldn't be able to be seen on TV.
Nowadays, or maybe people that are already in a trance or something, like,
no, yeah, just a movie mistake.
Yeah, okay, never mind.
I read that on a goof on IMDb. I'm like, you know what, that makes a lot
that is
sense.
Funny,
that does make a lot of sense. So Louis shows up and she like goes, oh, because Charlie starts getting like faint because of, you know, the trance that Regine, like the dance she's doing. She's like, don't worry, Charlie, I'll get you some water. Did you notice that? She dumped the flowers where the water was in.
Yeah.
A cup's a cup, I guess.
That was kind of gross.
She was going to like fill it up, but Louis waiting there. Dude, I'd be freaked out. She was like kind of cool at first.
At this point, listen, this is like the third time he showed up unannounced.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. So no, 100%.
And then she tries to pull away. He grabs her. And dude, when out of nowhere, Charlie runs over and he's like, hey, what's going on? And he gives that, like, he goes, come on, dude, it's party time. And his teeth, like, you see him changing each time they cut back, and they're finally sharp. And then he's like fully the vampire. And I really expect this. I don't know. I thought it was going to be like a little bit longer of a fight scene, but I guess you couldn't.
Well, because it's Charlie.
Yeah, no, I guess.
Charlie, I mean, you know, we're not talking about Van Damme here. We're talking about Charlie. So how long can the fight scene be?
Yeah.
You know.
But, yeah, and then Alex saves the day, shoves the roses right in his mouth, and he just,
so
like,
stupid.
Flies out the window.
I guarantee you, if you pull 15 people that you know, and you ask them, you know, just, you know, the significance of roses to a vampire, not one person's going to know.
I did not know that one, so no, I'll give you that.
I'm looking it up later.
Put that in your Google list.
It is.
So then no cops are listening to Peter. They think he's crazy. They're like, you know what? This guy says he believes in vampires one more time and send him to the mental hospital. So that's where he goes. And then at the same time, Charlie and Alex are getting ready to leave. And the cops show up, bring them in. And they separated them in the prison. And they were actually in jail cells. They weren't like holding cells.
For what?
Guess breaking a window?
What window?
Well, the window that Louis went through. I'm sure they can't say, like, you can't admit you're gonna go to a mental hospital.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd go to jail for that. I mean, number one, first of all, where's the body?
That's what I mean.
Right. Okay. So there's got to be something there. Like there's got to be blood or something. Like, so you could say what, I mean, regardless of what you're saying, the fact that they were in jail, I didn't understand why. Like I, that didn't make sense. Maybe. You're on a college campus. If I threw a rock at a window, they're going to call the dean of students and I might go on probation. I'm not going to go to jail.
Boy, you're saying if you threw a rock through a window, they'd be like, all right, we're going to let you off with a warning.
You know, listen, I'm in a fraternity, and you know how many times we've done things that got in trouble, like we should have gotten in trouble, and you get in trouble with the school. You know, I can't imagine, like, I don't know. I to go to jail because you broke a window. I don't buy that.
Well, yes, you were put on a double secret probation. So then Charlie gets bailed out of prison. He gets bailed out by Regine. And then Alex gets bailed out by Charlie Shrink, which we find out that he has a relationship with her. So maybe he's like a professor there too. Because
but Charlie just leaves her there. Like he didn't even question.
In the trance. All right. You see the way he's walking in this whole scene. He like doesn't have any like reservations about anything. Even going to the limo, when he gets out, he's doing like that slow walk that whole time. But again, it's Mr. Carosi. And I love when Peter shows up. That one kid, again, there's movies that there's little lines, actors in a lot of sequels that we cover. And they have such a small role, but they're so great. Dude, the one guy at the mental hospital is so crazy. But dude, he like stands out so much. And you rarely see that with somebody that has like few lines.
I feel like he was trying to overdo crazy.
Oh, he was.
I mean, the fact that his voice goes up when he talked about being crazy, it was so stupid. It was so silly. He was playing rock, paper, scissors by himself.
Well, he's crazy. I love that Peter Vincent was a mini celebrity there. And I love that, like, you're the vampire slayer. And he's like, yeah, vampires, you know, they're real. And he's like, yeah, I know they're real. These are the crazy ones. I love that. So then we find out, this is where we find out. So Alex is in the car. She convinces, I don't even know the doctor's last name. They mentioned it a bunch of times, Mr. Grossi. They get stuck in like a phantom train that somehow stops. And then he turns, he's getting ready to bite her. And I was like, holy crap. So how long do you think he was a vampire? Was he turned in order to be a plant, or is he part of the gang?
If he's part of the gang, He doesn't fit the mold. He's older. He's fat and slow.
Fit the mold because he's fat.
Well, he's fat and slow. I mean, wouldn't you want like the best? If you're going to a vampire gang, you want the best vampires. He doesn't fit the vampire. I could see him being like the vampire leader, because he's been around longer or something like that. Like, and that's why he doesn't fit the mold, because he's older. Like, I'm assuming vampires want to get the younger blood. If he's just a member of the vampire gang, it's like, he didn't look at his resume all the way.
I guess, yes. Or then he's like vulnerable and people would be like, damn, this guy, I'll get in the car with him right now. But nobody would have gotten she wouldn't have gotten in the car with Bosworth.
No, I think that when he handed his resume in, he didn't have the year of college graduation on there. And he just put down, I like the bowl, rollerblade.
Well, that's why bucks. I think he was in the gang. Because he suggested bowling. And they...
That's what I mean. So like they had no choice at this point. They already hired him without seeing him. They didn't have FaceTime back then.
But no, this scene is great because she, again, from her reading, which this one, obviously a stake to the heart. She pulls out from the train, from the train tracks. And then dude, I love when he pops out at every turn. Like I said, I love that when she's like running and then he pops out smoking the cigarette saying like, hey, join us. And then he's right behind her. But when she like stabs him in the chest, and I love the fact that he's still talking doctor while he's about to die. And he kind of wants to die because he fell forward.
He's like, oh, that's what it feels like, or something like that. He said, and then first he goes, ouch, that hurts. And then he's like, oh, that's what. So I think he's like, again, he might be like a rookie vampire. And because he seemed like, again, no vampires want to die, and he was killing himself with that, So yeah, he seems strange.
Yeah. I just didn't. Yeah. The fact that he wanted to die was like talking about like a, he was talking about like a in a doctor point but of view.
It's like he wanted to feel what it feels like. You know, that's how he's acting.
Yeah. So then, so we have Charlie and Regine are going back to her place while Alex like fakes her way in to get Peter Vincent out. But I do like the raspy nurse when she's like,
Nurse Ratched. Yeah.
Yes. And she's like, who's the doctor? And he like looks and it's her. And, yeah. And I'm Smokey the Bear.
And then she pulls out like a bunch of cards from her wallet, her purse, you know, and which the nurse doesn't look at one of them.
Yeah. She didn't look at it there. But then when the crazy guy found the ID in the hallway,
right.
And that's when she like kind of started. Then she was like, oh, she goes back. But that crazy guy saves the day, puts a bucket on her head.
He's well, would you know in cartoons, once the bucket's on the head, it's all over.
Yeah. You can't get it off for some reason. It's like there's glue on it. So then Peter and Alex, they're revving up, which I love this part. So they go to the church, they get the communion wafers, the holy water. And dude, I love when they're in his apartment. I love all the movies that he mentions and everything he grabs. Did you write any down?
Well, I saw the regular ones, but I wasn't, it was probably writing down as he's getting other things, but no, besides the blanket he got from the church and the holy water.
So he's grabbing these props and he goes, ah, this is from Jaws, the vampire.
Okay. I saw that.
I was like, dude, that'd be better than Jaws 4. And in my head, I'm like, dude, I can imagine that coming out now with these crazy sci-fi movies that are out. Like a vampire gets killed by a vampire killer, throws him into the ocean, and his teeth sink into a Jaws. It's like the Santa Jaws that just came out.
Yeah, but isn't a shark already like a vampire because it feeds on blood? Like it loves blood? Like I feel like a zombie shark would be better than a vampire shark.
But sharks don't dance like Regine, so then now they'd be able to add that to the repertoire.
Well, I don't think sharks can dance at all because they don't have feet.
Whoa, you ready for this? Do you remember Street Sharks, the cartoon in the 90s?
Yeah.
So maybe they are vampires because they have rollerblades. Holy crap. But so then they have all their supplies. They're scaling the building, sneaking in. They find Charlie. And then Richie's alive. Richie's in the room with him after they announced he's 22 years old on the news that he died. That's when Charlie, after he leaves his meeting with the shrink earlier in the movie, like 20, 30 minutes back. And that's when he's like, oh my God, I got to leave. But I'm like, dude, this guy's alive. And then this word, what you hate when he like says, like just a little makeup, you know, cover it.
But why would you think he's not alive? He was left at the party, right? It's the last time we saw him.
No, but on the newscast, they actually found he was buried in a grave. And he said, hey, Charlie, I stuck out of the morgue for this. He said that to him.
Okay, you're right.
Which is like, yeah. But I do love Regine does care about him, even though she's planning to make him, you know, the rest of his life terrible. She gives him those old-timey matching top and bottom pajamas, which is nice.
Yeah, real nice.
But then Richie comes back in. He has nice tea for him, a nice, like, really, like, nice tea set. And then he catches Alex and Peter. And, wow, that thing that he has, I guess that was a holy water sprayer for one of his movies he was in. Dude, that hits his face and it just changes.
It looked like you, like a True Green would use on the lawn, like the weed killer.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I love that. And then just the way his face changes the effects. I love when they do that in these movies because it's like the stop motion-ish. And again, it's not like special effects on computers and CGI. They just, each time they cut back to it, it's just like worse and worse. It's like collapses on the ground. I think it's even cooler now that especially what you mentioned about the actor that played Richie, they had AIDS and they still had sort of close intimate scenes, you know, back then they didn't know, you know, what was going on. And a lot of people were so taboo about it. So, here's one thing. So again, we're talking about like what percentage he's in, what percentage vampire he is right now. So when they wrap him in the blanket, cause he's getting ready to, he's about to bite Peter.
Which I never heard that either. I mean, I don't know what kind of blanket that is. I mean, I guess it's on the altar of the church, but I mean, I've never heard that in a vampire. Well, also
that's blessed. So like holy water. So
I get, yeah. All right. Well, so you're saying garlic is blessed?
by an Italian vampire, but an Italian priest. But no, I guess look that one up too. There's probably a huge list. There's probably funny ones. I should have wrote them all down. But so Peter somehow, when they're getting ready to leave, because they were going to sneak out that same window to avoid, you know, seeing anyone, which would make no sense because then they would be hunted forever and ever. So right. Like, why not? But when he goes, he gets like onto the ledge and it closes and Louis like waiting for him, scaling on the building like Spider-Man. Dude, his for a guy to go out like that again,
and he's older, and he's you see the they pointed out his shoes that he has like heels on his shoes, like dress shoes, the worst shoes possible to be scaling, you know. But like, come on, I mean, you know, I could see her doing it. Not sure about him. That's the best way they can get in there.
I guess so. I guess they couldn't knock. I don't know. But when he's there and he's, it looks like he's about to like kill.
Yeah, you know,
Peter Vincent's hanging by the ledge, and Louis doing one little this little piggy went to the market, and then boom, he grabs almost like a spear gun, shoots Louis right through the heart. He falls into the water, and again, how badass he is! He's about to die, and his last line of the movie is "Bullseye, dude." Classic.
Well, you know, if he's trying to kill him, why didn't he just turn into a vampire? Wouldn't he have a better chance to, than being in human form?
Who turned into a vampire? Charlie?
Louis. He wasn't a full vampire at the time, right?
Louis?
Yeah.
Louis's a full vampire.
No, but he didn't turn into one.
He was.
No, like a bat. Like, I mean, like a the vampire bat.
You mean why didn't he turn into a vampire? Bat?
Yeah, like a vampire. I feel like these vampires don't turn into, to me, the bat would be the hardest thing to kill.
Well, I guess because he wasn't expecting them to have that spear and he wanted to kill Peter. So he was already in that form, but no, we don't see the bat used as much. And I guess.
Cause I mean, it's probably hard to stab a bat in the heart. Would, you know, even spraying like, you know, holy water, it would be hard to get a catch a bat. Bats move pretty fast. I'm surprised they don't use the bat more often. That's all I'm saying.
They should start teaching at VU, Vampire University.
Should be the first lesson.
That would be the first. Turn into a bat. For God's sakes, just do it. So then we get the showdown with Bosworth and Bell. And dude, I love, again, just showing obviously how big, you know, it's scary. Yeah. Brian Thompson is when Peter Vincent has like the little gun with the little stakes, which I do love that he sharpened them with a pencil sharpener earlier, but he's shooting them. He's catching each one and just breaking them like twigs.
Again, this whole scene, you know, with his death, I mean, obviously he's not human, but they really don't explain, you know, what he is if he's not a vampire.
No, I know. No, that's something.
It was very weird. I mean, the special effects are pretty cool with all the maggots and everything else. But, and again, you know, the battle and I guess the nails cut him and that kills him. Like, I don't understand that.
Well, his body is just made of bugs.
So you're saying he's very soft in the middle?
Yes. But when he told me about that scene, which if you haven't checked it out, you have to, you know, guys, go back and listen to that interview with Brian. But he talked also about like the bug wrangler, and he said when he showed up to set one early one morning, the guy was sleeping in his car in a Volkswagen Bug with all the bugs in cages and everything.
Wait, he was in a bug?
The guy that was the bug wrangler.
That's awesome.
Drove up, yeah. Brian asked me, put it to me, he's like, "What kind of car do you think he drove?" And I'm like, I feel like that's too on the nose. So I was like, Dodge Dart? It's like, no, a bug. But
yeah. I wonder if he really did eat the bugs, if the bug wrangler got pissed.
Ooh. Maybe they made him like go for a walk for a second. Oh, don't worry, it'll be fine. Crunch. I do love the scene when Regine walks in when they're all like fighting and they're caught. You know, Alex is like on the ground on her knees, and Bosworth like has her head up, and they're getting it set up for Charlie to feed on.
And he's braiding her hair. He puts it in a ponytail.
Well, he wants to get the neck, wide open neck. You don't want Charlie getting hair in his mouth.
So hold the hair back. I mean, he was taking his time putting her hair in a ponytail.
Helps her look good. You know, it's a big moment for her.
So maybe he's the vampire hairstylist also.
Yes. Bug eater. So then when Regine comes in and her her voice in this movie, so sultry, but she is welcome to Fright Night and puts her hands up and all the candles light up in the room. And man, I just love this whole part. And the fact that, so Charlie, you see it in his eyes. He has the yellow around his eyes, like he's getting ready to feed. And he grabs Belle's hands and pulls them back into Bosworth's stomach and like slashes. Ugh.
It just didn't make sense. I know. I just, that part, I just didn't understand how that would kill this big guy, you know, unless were his fingernails wooden.
Whose fingernails were wooden?
The nails that went into
like razor sharp.
Okay, but they could have been wooden razor sharp.
What does wood have to do with it?
If he's a vampire.
He's not a vampire. He's a bug.
We're going to agree to disagree. I think he's a vegetarian vampire, and he had wooden nails that went inside him, and that's what killed him.
Well, it doesn't have to be a wood stake. You can use any type of stake to kill a vampire.
No.
It's not just a wood stake.
Yes, it is. Oh, so
to your vampire Google.
So you can tell me any stake.
Any stake, except like a T-bone.
I was going to say, porthouse won't count.
But yeah, the whole maggot effect, the way it comes out,
that was pretty cool.
You see his body to show that his body was full of bugs because he just like disintegrates, like looks so cool. Weird. It was like Arnold-esque from like Total Recall. It looked great.
It was very cool.
They do those. So then Belle roller skates at them and they wrap again. This is the one because again, Charlie, I guess. Because he's not fully a vampire, because maybe he didn't do his own feeding yet. Maybe that has to happen. But when they just wrap in the blanket, and I forgot about that part, even though I've watched this movie like three times over the last few months, is just how cool the body like decomposing in that blanket. It's so cool. They like packed in amazing amounts of special effects within like 15 minutes of the movie. This must have took the most filming out of anything.
Oh, easily. And it's probably where most of the budget came from. I mean, this whole end scene. So.
But just the melting away. It just looks so cool. I love that. So then now they're hunting down Regine. Regine's all by herself running. She goes in the elevator because she needs to get to her coffin to be protected. Dude, again.
Trying to escape the elevator was pretty cool. I mean, banging. That was a pretty good scene.
But just the fact that when you saw her first start, you saw her normal hands.
Right.
And then each cutaway back, you just saw it like turning into this creature. And again, Peter, badass, old guy. Again, he's an actor. He has one experience with vampires. And he's like, don't worry, I got it. You guys go down there. So they go down. They fill the coffin with the communion wafers. And Peter Vincent climbs down with his shoes with the heels. And he goes on top and he like has this, he has the crucifix. He places it down, which is like, come on.
Well, first I thought he was a goner. Without a doubt, he's not made. He's lucky he made it this far in this movie based on every scene that he was in. You know, I thought he was a goner. I mean, it was pretty ballsy for him to do that. So I think he made a complete turnaround, not knowing the first movie. I'm assuming he was still kind of wimpy
End. Yeah. He had that moment that he changed. Yeah.
Well, I thought he was going to go out a hero in this part. Like, you know, like he sacrificed himself to help them or something like that. And yeah.
I think it's so great when he opens it up and he just the way Regine looks when she goes full vampire, she's like the head vampire, kind of like your brother was, Jerry in the first one. He looked like this creature that was like, holy crap.
Although I did think he was running away after he saw her. Because that's when he starts climbing away. So I thought he was like, all right, he's out of here.
Well, first he uses the crucifix.
Yes.
It's and the way the falls through, and then maybe she didn't sleep through the orientation at Vampire University. Because when she came through, she started flying around like a bat. and knocks out Alex. So Alex
with one word. Yeah, that was a little ridiculous. First of all, he wanted to go by himself, and she's like, "Let me go with you." What was she gonna do? I mean, we're talking about dealing with the head vampire. He's at least, you know, 25% vampire. What is she gonna do? And within seconds, she gets knocked out by a flyby.
She read the book. Yeah, when she's knocked out, I'm like, oh my God. And then again, it's just normal Regine comes out from the side and just like trying to seduce him. He's kind of like, again, he's still in a trance. She still has a power over him. And again, I would have went with her a million times, even though I know what was going to happen. But yeah, so they're just sitting there. And I love when she, like you just said, she's like calling, look at your friend. He doesn't care about you anymore. He's leaving. And you do think that for like 1 second, but when he gets to the top, you see the sunlight.
So his weapon that he used twice in this movie, and I'm assuming in the first movie you said, is a smaller compact mirror.
Well, he doesn't use a mirror at the end.
He's a glass. But I mean, but the same concept of, and that's a high place. That's a pretty high place to bring that light all the way down the elevator shaft in the right exact spot. I mean, a little silly. And all right, so what does sunlight have to hit your face? Or because Charlie's arm didn't get like any marks on it.
I think and his arm was 25%. Maybe. Right,
so he might have like lost a nail or something.
He might have. Maybe some like hairs got singed off a little bit. But no,
that really didn't affect him at all.
No, I know. I wish something affected him. I guess the only thing really did, the blanket did sort of affect him earlier. Like,
so maybe he wasn't full. Maybe he wasn't a vampire anymore.
Yeah, maybe he was like, I don't know.
Because I thought at least like scar him or something. You know, something like, you know.
Yeah, just I want some wounds. But one line that she had when she was back to normal, she's like, "Come on, Charlie, that was a naughty thing to do." Because, yeah, I think because he was getting ready to. Oh, I guess to maybe kill all the friends. I don't think she knows. She doesn't know what happened. Oh, no, she saw the communion wafers. Yeah, that's why she said it.
Right.
She said you
were a naughty boy or something like that? Or
yeah,
like,
she said that was a naughty thing to do.
Yeah.
So then, man, this part's so great. When Charlie like reaches out to hold her hand when Peter like shines the light down and he like pulls her into it. And dude, this whole end scene looks so freaky.
Okay, so this goes to my thing about turning into a bat. Yeah. Now, how easy would her to get away? Obviously, there's sunlight coming down. Charlie's holding a hand. Turn to a bat, you lose the grip on the hand, and she flies away.
But what if then that her hand equals like an injured wing, and she wouldn't be able to fly away? One wing's not going to do much.
But so I guess a rule of vampires: if you kill the head vampire, you're no longer turn into a vampire.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know that one.
So anyone who's a vampire turns back to human.
Yeah. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie happens in it.
I don't remember that movie, but okay. Oh. That one's more believable than the roses and all the other stuff.
Okay. The Mighty End, no. So then I love this whole effect because her burning. And then when she like bursts into flames and then walks over the coffin, like again, she knows that that's there, but it's just like, she can't think, she's on fire. But when she is like that full, like skeleton at that point and hops in and all you see is the casket, like burst into flames and go up. And I just love like the first thing you see before the very end of the movie is that full arm bony come out, fall and just shatter.
Well, that's what I mean, though. So, like, in the first movie, there was no evidence of, you know what I'm saying? Like, they leave bones behind.
Yeah. No, so, there obviously is evidence. I just don't know what happened in the first one. Like, did somebody come in to clean the house? Or did maybe, like,
do you think the maid came? Wait, the maid came and just sweeped everything up? And just
called 1-800-MAIDS and they came and cleaned it up? No, that makes sense. Like, I don't know what could have happened, but I think maybe like, again, you don't want to tell people because nobody believes vampires are real, like, you know, which they are, but
all right,
maybe. But I do like the end of the movie because it sort of sets up a new one. And I'm going to talk about something that I don't know if it's really going to happen, we're done. But so Charlie and Alex are talking about the rest of their life together. And he's like, I don't know, maybe some kids, maybe start off with an apartment. Cause she's like, are these vampires ever going to, right, they're going to be still more vampires. But I love, she's like, well, you're going to have to practice. And he's like, what did she say? Practice owning a house. She's like, no, practice making babies. So he finally got laid. I think, I don't think he ever got laid. Oh, in the first movie, I think he gets laid at the end.
I would think, which would have been cooler, like the typical, like he turns his head and you still see a little red in his eyes.
I would love that.
You know, like then it goes away. Like, and then you question, is he still the vampire? Is he not? Like, that would have been a cool way to end it, I think. But yeah.
So,
and you think about it, this movie came out so long ago that not too many, movies today have done that. But like, I mean, like, didn't Teen Wolf do that? Or like, his eyes glowed at the end of the movie.
Oh, well, in the game. When he was hitting the free throws at the very end.
But just in general, I think that would have been a cool way to end it.
I don't know. I would have loved that. So that was Fright Night Part 2. And so Tom Holland, who directed the first one, he is right now, it's been like 4 years. He's kind of like dragging his feet. He wanted to write a book. I forget the name of it. Not Reckoning, but it's like Fright Night 3, essentially. He wants to bring them back, but he wants to ignore. It's kind of weird. He wants to bring Tracy Lynn back. And,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so he wants to bring them back as a couple, but kind of ignore the rest of the movie. I don't know why it really even matters, but them now, and another family like moves in, it's vampires next door. Which, again, it would be so cool to have these people back.
No, that would definitely
type of movie.
Well, I know they did a remake a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they did with Colin Farrell.
Was it a remake of the movie? Like, it was like very different?
Remake of the original.
Original. Okay. And then they made a sequel to the
remake. They did a sequel that's basically a remake of the original. But instead of Jerry, yeah, I know, it makes no sense. Instead of it being Jerry Dandridge, it's Jerry, G-E-R-I, and it's a woman.
Wait. So they made a remake of the first one, and then the sequel to the remake of the first one is a remake of the first one.
Yes. And her name is Jerry Dandridge. It's the same name.
The same like director, like
I don't know. I think it's in another country. Like,
that's bizarre. Yeah. That's weird.
But yeah, so that was Fright Night 2. Jamie, we talked about it, we broke it down. Would you recommend someone to watch it?
I would say if you're into an 80s vampire type movie, watch Once Bitten instead. Oh, I don't. I just think that, you know, again, I think there's a lot of silliness and holes to this movie. Maybe back then, you know, if you're watching this in the 80s, it'd be good. I think if you're watching this now, there's better 80s like horror / vampire silly kind of movies, whatever. Like I said, Once Bitten would be a better movie to me than this one. Now,
you watch both.
Well, now with that being said, if you've seen the first one and never saw the second one and you didn't know they had, then I would say absolutely watch it. But if you've never seen any of them and you want, I wouldn't watch it.
Well, I gotta say, you gotta watch this. I love this. I love this movie. I love the first one. I love the second one. Because again, we talked about it, like Julie Carmen, for being in a movie that I mentioned about the issues like of it getting released and barely making it to VHS and DVD and Blu-ray and like all these movies that issues that movies shouldn't have, but it's distributor. Like, I don't know. I guess for everything that happened with Menendez, for her to get nominated for a movie that didn't have a lot of eyes on it, it was
amazing. Just to be in that category of those actresses is amazing. So yeah, I mean, 100%, you know, that is an amazing thing. I mean, I would love to just, you know, if we had a chance to interview her. I mean, I would love to hear, like, you know, what she was going through her mind, like with that, because that's incredible. It's really, I mean, again, like you said, a small movie that most people haven't seen, yet you're nominated. That's crazy.
And again, Chris Sarandon, which I do recommend, you should watch the first one. It's like, it's amazing.
Is it as good as this one? Is it as good as this one? Because, I mean, you know.
So me personally, I like this one better because I like the element of the other people. And again, I love sequels. The original, what Chris Sarandon does in that role, it's awesome. And for her to come in and play her brother.
Yeah.
She just absolutely crushed me. Yeah, I would say to check it out. So yeah, so So next is a little toss about what we're going to be covering, because we have a very, very special guest to come in and review. I'm not going to mention who, but she's big in the horror community and horror shows. So that'll be cool if that happens. So our next movie could be Sorority House Massacre 2, which is directed by Jim Wynorski. And the star of the movie, the main killer in the movie, which, God, it's so... The stories about that movie are cool. How quick they filmed that is Peter Spellos. So it's either going to be that movie or Munchie Strikes Back, which if you guys are new to us, man, you got to listen to Munchie, one of the most insane movies ever. They actually made a sequel to that movie. So this is the third installment in the Munchie franchise. That movie, directed by Jim Wynorski, and Peter Spellos is in that as well. So you're getting a Jim Wynorski, Peter Spellos movie, no matter which one we cover. So just follow us on all social media at Sequels Only and on Facebook, everywhere. And you can see, we'll put out there exactly what movie, and you'll see the interview that'll be out. So it could be Jim, could be Peter, but no matter what, we're covering one of them. Jamie, are you happy that we're doing another Munchie?
Oh, I can't wait. And you know, you said it could be this, could be that. I'll tell you right now, though, you're going to get us regardless.
Yes, you are. So don't forget to review, rate, share our podcast. Follow us on all social media at Sequels Only. And don't forget to check out our website, sequelsonly.com. Good night.
Good night.